జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్షకృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ఇత్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి తయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరుర్గళితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాధరమాజ్జుహావా పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిర్షదాం ధమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారేర్మధురిన్న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, from next Saturday, we will continue with our Saturday classes. So that means Saturday and Sunday will continue as before. But the Christmas programs will still remain cancelled. We won't continue with it. But from next week, from Saturday and Sunday, we will continue as before. So, last Sunday, we were discussing this ninth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna has spoken some important things in relationship with self-realization. What is that? First thing Krishna is saying to us, the nature of a person who has taken spiritual life very seriously. That's the first thing. That is that verse number 14 where Krishna mentions that സതതം കീർത്തയന്തോമാം സതതം കീർത്തയന്തോമാം യദന്തശ്ച ദൃഢവ്രതാഹ നമസ്യന്തശ്ച മാം ഭക്തിയ നിത്യയുക്ത ഉപാസതേ. With that verse, Krishna is indicating to us, a person who has taken spiritual life very seriously, not a casual visitor, for him, this will be the standard. This is the standard. Sadadam kirtayandomam yadandascha dhradavrata namasyandashamam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. If he is in that state, what will that lead into? That is the next verse. Jnana yajnena japini yajandemam upasate egatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishvathomukham. Krishna says that, isn't it? In the next verse, as a continuation of this verse, that if a person is completely absorbed in the spiritual life, the way it is spoken in this 14th verse, Krishna is saying, for him, the life itself is a sacrifice, is a jnana yajnam, because that leads into that knowledge state. Jnana yajnena chapyane ejandeyamam upasade. Krishna is saying, that person is connected with me through all sacrifices. In what all ways? Egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishyotho mukham. We have seen those verses in the last classes, isn't it? So, whether this is the beginning of that process, Krishna is saying here that this Rajavidya, the knowledge of the self, Rajaguhyam, almost confidential knowledge, in relationship with us, in relationship with a person who has taken spiritual life, for him, egatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishvatho mukham. And subsequently to that verses, Krishna also mentions a few things. What is that? Everything is ultimately, Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the receiver, benefactor, Krishna is the doer in everything. That was the next verse. Aham kradu, aham yajna, sodaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evaja, aham agni, aham hutam. Everything Krishna refers in that way, isn't it? So, beginning with that verse, satatam kirtayandomam, very important verse, where Krishna says, yadandascha dhradavradaha, namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasade. So, continuously when one is absorbed seriously in spiritual life, constantly his mind has no time for vyavaharam. In other words, other business in this world. It is totally following towards Krishna all the time. And that flow towards Krishna is in two different ways, either through the process of knowledge or through the process of bhakti, or through the process of bhakti. So, even if at some times, if he has to get involved in vyavaharam, immediately it will come back to the original state of realization of the self. That will come back to him immediately. Because he is holding on to that great principle that human life is meant for realizing the self. Because it is fixed strongly inside, that he would not allow that any moment to drift away from that. This is the state of that yogi. If that is the expectations from Krishna for a person who is looking for realizing the self. In other words, if any moment, if it has to go into a harem, it comes back to that state again, straight away. So, two processes Krishna has spoken here. One is the process of knowledge and the other one is the process of bhakti. So, in the process of knowledge, analyzing the self, what is this self, who is the self, this inquiry goes very strongly and eventually gets to know that it has nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, nor the intelligence or the ego. Rather, it is his self is transcendental to everything. And when he realizes that, that at that point, when he realizes a self, what will happen? He realizes that this jiva bhavam or the ahankaram or the false ego, what he is identifying with at the moment is not real. This realization comes to him. That immediately jiva bhavam disappears or the false ego disappears from him. And he realizes that I am pure spirit soul, atma. And this is in the shastram, they use the word pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means when you leave your identity as jiva and come to the identity as the self. As soon as you, that is the shift happening at that time. Up to that point, everything what we do is based on the jiva platform. Ahankaram it is, false ego inside us. That's what's operating in everything. When at this particular time, when we lose this identity with the jiva and we come to our real identity as the soul, atma inside, that time, that is known as pratyabhijna. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this word used at several places, pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. So, that falsity of the jiva, falsity means it's a false thing, it's not a real thing. That's why it's called false ego. It's a false thing. It has no real reality behind it. And that ahankaram, that is what it is, the false ego. When we realize that it is not a real thing, it is a false thing, as soon as it happens, we lose that identification with that falsity. But even in that situation, when that happens, what will happen to all his transactions in this world? This will be the important question, isn't it? As far as he is concerned, vyavaharam will continue as it is meant to happen. As it is meant to happen. But as far as he is concerned, that vyavaharam will not be able to bind him to the world. The vyavaharam will not be able to bind him to the world. In other words, ahankaram is the one that is binding us, isn't it? How does the bondage happens to us? Through false ego. False ego, when it is engaged in transactions, we create, according to our vasanas, we engage in different karma. Due to that karma, what will happen, the result of this, thus karma, whatever we engage in, it creates fresh vasanas and its reactions. Reactions from the karma, as well as it creates fresh vasanas as well. So this cycle will continue and it will only stop when we realize that that doer, that I am the doer, that ahankaram completely gets released from inside. So that is the process, that ahankaram will not be able to bind him anymore. This is what will happen. When ahankaram cannot bind him, or the false ego cannot bind him anymore to the world or bondage, at that point you can say whatever transactions happens through that person, it is completely on the spiritual platform. Even if it may appear to us, it is a transaction of the world, vyavaharam. But the reality is at that point, because false ego is not involved, purely on the platform of the soul it's happening, that is a self-realized nature of a person who is in the self-realized state. So, in the bhakti margam, this is the process in the knowledge. In the process of bhakti, what will happen? What is happening is that knowing very well that the Antaryami inside is Krishna, and knowing that he surrenders to him, to that Antaryami inside. So ultimately he says that continuously, because of his surrender inside to the Antaryami inside, Antaryami's activities, he considers that as Krishna's activities. He does not take any more credit to anything what is happening in this world through that body. So that is why, so these two processes, one process through realization of the self, knowing very well that ahankaram has nothing to do with it. Ahankaram disappears in the process of knowledge. In the process of bhakti, through surrender to Antaryami, he wipes out the false ego. Either way, the false ego has to go. So, through the process of bhakti, he surrenders to Antaryami and sees all the activities in the world purely as that of Antaryami, and he withdraws from that. In the process of knowledge, he sees that false ego has no reality, because he sees the falsity of that false ego and moves away from to the identity of the soul. In either way, either through the process of knowledge or through the process of bhakti, it eventually ends up in the realization of the pure self. So both these processes Krishna has spoken here. Because in the Satatam Kirtayandomam Yatandascha Dradavrada Namasyandascha Mam Bhaktiya Nitya Yukta Upasate, that is the process of bhakti. And then it will lead into Jnana Yajnena Chapyane Yajandemam Upasate Egatvena Prathakvena Bahudha Vishwato Mukham. Krishna is saying that once he has come to this realization, Egatvena Prathakvena, we have seen that also what it means, isn't it? So whether it is through the process of bhakti or through the process of knowledge, or if he is performing any yagam or sacrifices or yajnam, or if he is chanting the holy name, or if he is chanting any other mantram, whatever it may be, the question comes, who is the benefactor? Who experiences the result of all that? And that is why, and who gets to know about all these things, and who is the finally the who experiences the result of all these things. So so it is at that time Krishna is saying in this, that in all these things, the bhokta means the person who is enjoying, the enjoyer is the Antaryami. That is that verse talking about. Jnana yajnena chapyane yajande mam upasade. That mam refers to that Antaryami inside. Egatvena prathakvena bahudha vishwato mukham. In whichever way you go through that yajnam or yagam or any other processes related to that, Krishna is saying that ultimately all the results comes to Antaryami. Antaryami is the benefactor. So because he is present in everyone's heart, so he is the bhokta. Bhokta means who is the benefactor or the enjoyer of all the results. So that is that verse, aham kratu aham yajnam sodaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evajya aham aham agni aham hutam, which we have seen in the last Sunday, isn't it? So in other words, whether it is shraudham or smartham, that is what it's referring to. Kratu is referred to shraudham. Yajnam refers to all the sacrifices in the smartham, from the smriti. One comes from the shruti and one comes from the smriti. So whether it comes from the shruti or whether it comes from the smriti, Krishna is saying here that it is all me who is the beneficiary of everything, or benefactor of everything. Now similarly, all even Krishna spoke up there about the sacrifices for the forefathers, which we have discussed last Sunday. Even there, Krishna is saying that mandroham aham evajyam aham agni aham hutam, isn't it? Even the sacrifices offered to the forefathers, as far as the pitrgamam is concerned, shraddham and others, even there, the benefactor is Antaryami. benefactor is Antaryami. And similarly, Krishna is saying also that even while mandroham aham aushadham, he says, even while treatment happens to this body, even there, Antaryami is the decision maker, which we have seen last Sunday. Actually, from the spiritual point of view, hunger is a disease. Hunger is a disease. And the medicine for that is the food. This is how those who are on the platform of the soul, on the realized state, they see it. They see it in that way. They don't see this body as a real thing anymore. For them, body itself is a disease. And body itself is a disease. And this disease has got another disease which is called the hunger. And the medicine for that hunger is the food. You see? Food. Krishna is saying here, even when one consumes the food, when consumes food, that is that aham vaishvanaro bhuto praninam deham ashriram, that verse. So even while food is concerned, the person who has to receive acceptance of that food is from Antaryami, who is present in the stomach as Vaishvanara. He is present as Vaishvanara inside. So in so many ways, if you look into our own life, you can see all our activities, whether it is yagam, yajnam, any kind of work or taking food or anything, is everything is in relationship with Antaryami inside. We cannot ignore that factor. That is what Krishna is reminding us in this verse. The power of Antaryami inside. In fact, if you look into Brihadaranya Upanishad, and it will talks about for such a long exposition of this Antaryami principle, that in every activity, whatever we do with this body, mind, intelligence, all activities is finally linked to Antaryami inside of everyone. So, aham eva ajyam. Aham eva, Krishna says, aham agni, aham hutam. We say it's like that. So, in all these things, who is this aham aham Krishna is talking about? In so many places he says aham, isn't it? So, you can see here, if you inquire about that, that aham is nothing but who is present inside every one of us in our own experience. In our own experience. And if you inquire, try to find out who this aham is, though that aham is here, you should not misunderstand this, because you don't have to go and inquire about this aham through the history. Just like people have this tendency to think that, oh, Krishna who appeared 5,000 years ago, is this one aham is talking about. No, it is not. Krishna is talking about who is present in everyone as Antaryami. That is that aham Krishna is referring to here. Not that historic personality who appeared 5,000 years ago. Krishna has appeared in this world for a certain reasons. But constantly Krishna's presence is here in this world, which you cannot forget. And that presence in this world is this Antaryami inside everybody. That it is reference to that this verse is spoken. Aham kratu, aham yajnam, sodaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evajyam, aham agni, aham hutam. Everything Krishna says, it's me. It is me. how do you understand that? Because if you look into the 10th chapter, Krishna says, of all his opulences in this world, the greatest opulence is what? Aham alma gudakesha. Isn't it? He mentions there, Krishna talks about in the 10th chapter many, many opulences of the Absolute. Krishna's different opulences are spoken in the 10th chapter. But while saying that, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, all other opulences are not important, but the most important opulence is Aham alma gudakesha. I am present in everyone's heart. Isn't it? Aham alma gudakesha. Sarva bhudashayastida. In all living entities, I am present inside. Aham, adhyancha, madhyancha, bhutanam, andamevacha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end of all the living entities. All the living entities. So, whenever as Antaryami or the Krishna who is present in everyone's heart, who is present for us now. Krishna's present is in the form of the awareness, isn't it? Our awareness is coming from Krishna. Krishna's presence inside, it is from there that aham asmi, I exist, I am aware of my own existence, just like every one of us are aware of our own existence. So that awareness of our own existence is coming from Krishna or Antaryami. So that is the only truth. And due to the presence of that Antaryami, everything else is happening in this creation. All other living entities are functioning in one way or the other. And due to His presence alone, all living entities are able to react to situations. So, in this particular verse, Aham kratu aham yajna sodaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evajyam aham agni aham hutam. In this, all Vaidika karma, yajnam, sacrifices, the seed of all that is included in this verse. The seed of all that is included in this verse. This verse is not just that verse as it is spoken and to be understood like the way that we normally understand. We think that Krishna says to us that He is everything. But what does it mean? It means this, that in all actions, whether it is Shraudham or Smartham, Yajnam or Kratu, whatever it is, or if it is Pidrakarmam, or it is consumption of food, in whatever situations, if you look at it in this world, in all those activities, the person or the Antaryami's presence is that what makes it happen. What makes it happen? Otherwise, it has no meaning. If you take Antaryami from everything, all the Shraudha Yajnam, Smartha Yajnam, or any Pitri Yajnam, Shraddham, all this has no meaning. All this has no meaning. So, once we have understood the meaning of this verse, it means that it is it's an explanation of all the Vedic sacrifices and all the Vedic mantras. You can see, like when they chant the mantras in the sacrifices, Pranaya Swaha, Apanaya Swaha, Vyanaya Swaha, like that, offering everything to whom? To that Antaryami inside. All these things are symbolic. All of them are symbolic. For a self-realized person, all these things have no meaning anymore. This is all happening in the early stages. Because that the realized person, because he has realized the presence of Antaryami inside, just like you will see that in the Upanishads, that when one realizes the presence of Antaryami, he realizes that, particularly a realized person, that he is a walking temple. He is a walking temple. Body is moving everywhere, but who is who present situated within the body and experiences everything, there is no false ego. That is the situation with the realized person. So as far as the realized soul is concerned, while he is moving in this world, because there is no false ego inside, even though the body is moving, all actions and reactions are actually affected by the presence of the Antaryami inside. Because normal situation, when we are engaged in activities in this world, it's our false ego that is operating, isn't it? The false ego is experiencing the happiness, false ego experiences the distress, and false ego takes the ownership, I am the doer. And false ego is the enjoyer of the result, kartrutva bhoktrutvam. And due to that, ragam dvesham, attachment and aversion comes from this world. Attachment and aversion comes from this world. In the jnani's case, or the realized person, in his life, because ahankaram is not there, there is no kartrutvam, there is no bhoktrutvam. Nor the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer doesn't exist. Nor there is attachment or aversion. Ragam and dvesham doesn't exist. All these things goes away from inside because of the realization of the self. Ahankaram, only false ego can carry these things. Which one? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. I am the attachment and aversion. All these things only false ego can carry. The soul cannot carry that. Soul has nothing to do with any of those things. So here, Krishna says here, that Chaitanyam inside, the living force inside, all that Chaitanyam or the living force, he is a witness to all the activities of the of that particular body. And so in all instances, everything, all his, the reactions that's coming from the world, even while he is engaged in vyavaharam, it gets consumed in that process by the ahankaram gets destroyed, and therefore it does not allow to create any thoughts inside of ownership or doership or the enjoyership. None of them. Because everything, any reactions that's coming from his work is consumed by the self. Consumed by the self, who is present inside as the Antaryami. Is present inside as the Antaryami. So, therefore, Jnani or a realized person, he doesn't have any experiences of the sense enjoyment. Like we have sense enjoyment. Who is enjoying the senses? The false ego, isn't it? Through the false ego and the mind, we enjoy the senses. That does not happen for the realized person anymore. There are many, many examples of this happened in many instances throughout the history. If you look, how the realized soul reacts to different situations. If you study their life, you will know this, how it happens in them. Serious students who are very alert and very sensitive to self-realization, or who have taken this process seriously, for them, these things are important. How does a self-realized soul react to a particular situation? Normally, when in many instances, once a famous musician has come to perform a big concert in an ashram, and the sage who was present there, there were normally in the ashram those programs didn't happen. But it so happened this musician was a great devotee as well of that great sage who was present. So he wanted to perform a musical concert, and when people came to know that he was performing the concert, a lot of people assembled there to enjoy the concert, musical concert. Everybody likes a good musical concert, isn't it? So they all assembled there. So this realized person also, he was sitting there. Normally, any such functions happen, he never used to be part of that. He used to walk away or go on his own in some places, walking away from there. But in this particular instance, he sat down and the concert began. And it lasted for over 4 hours. And various classical songs were sung, instruments were played. It was a big performance altogether. Everyone enjoyed the concert. And our realized person, he sat there, but he did not move an inch throughout the concert. After the concert was over, the devotee who has come and performed this concert, he paid his obeisances and he also left. But one person who was present in the audience, he went up to this person, to the sannyasi who was there, and asked him, "How did you enjoy the concert?" If you look into his reply, you will know what was his state of consciousness at that time. He mentions there that his answer was that I only know when the concert has begun. After that, the Swami or the Antaryami inside, he has consumed everything. He was not conscious of anything. What has happened? That is why, because that is the way it is. Even if he acts in this world, even if there is some sense enjoyment, sense gratification in their life, it comes through them. Because the Antaryami takes away everything, it does not have any impact on him. Any impact on him. You can see this also in our cases. Normally, because we find very difficult to act on the platform of the soul, isn't it? Generally, we have the difficulty when it comes to vyavaharam, we completely leave the spiritual consciousness. We come to the vyavaharam consciousness. There, it is total identification with the body. What is profitable in that for me? Or how will that happen in a way that is helpful to my situation? This is the way most everybody thinks. That is vyavaharam means, isn't it? So, but here you can see that a realized person, whatever that is happening in this world, it does not go to him in the same way like it comes to us. In our case, ahankaram takes over, false ego takes over, and false ego weigh up the profit and loss, or the benefit and or the loss, what we're going to get from that. But in a case of a realized person, because the all vyavaharam that is happening through that body, even if his senses are receptive to that, it will not work as a sense enjoyment for him. It's not sense enjoyment anymore. In our case, because of the involvement of the mind and the false ego, it remains as a sense enjoyment. But for them, that all they know is that whatever that is happening through the senses, they are so separated from the senses, from the mind and from the body, that so many activities may happen through them, but it will have no impact on the person inside, So therefore, it is because of that only they don't have any sadhana. We need sadhana because of this problem. They don't need any sadhana because they have transcended that stage. This is a big difference. In our case, we need the sadhana because ahankaram is there in every action what we do. Everything, every dealing what we make in this world, our false ego is involved. It creates vasanas and it creates impressions inside. It will create fresh vasanas, it will create reactions as well. What is the difference then? In the case of a liberated person, because there is no absorption of, there is no involvement of false ego, Antaryami takes control of everything, anything what comes from that, good or bad. Good and bad doesn't exist for him anymore. Whether it is good or bad, Antaryami takes control of everything, and therefore there is no reactions to anything, and therefore there is no sadhana required either. This is the difference. Sadhana also comes to a stage when sadhana comes to a stop. Sadhana is, it is only a sadhana at this stage, but sadhana can only go up to a certain limit. After that, sadhana also cannot help. So, whatever anubhavam, prapanchanubhavam means all our their experiences in this world, it continuously comes to them, but it is continuously swallowed by the Antaryami inside. It's not taken over by the ahankaram. In our case, who is taking it? Ahankaram takes it, isn't it? When something good happens, we feel very blissful, blissed out. Who is blissed out? Ahankaram is blissed out. False ego is blissed out. When something goes wrong, we feel disgusted, depressed. Who gets depressed? Ahankaram gets depressed. Antaryami has nothing to do with it. In the case of a jnani or a realized soul, it happens the other way. It leaves, the ahankaram is not there anymore. Whereas the all the good and bad, what we consider as good and bad in this world, or those things have no impact on him because Antaryami swallows everything. He does not allow that to build up inside. It is swallowed by the Antaryami. Therefore, in the Upanishads, they will use continuously, it happens in that way. And that is called Aloka Drishti. Aloka Drishti means they are not looking into the world like the way we look into the world. They don't, aloka sthiti, that means they are not in the world anymore. We are still in the world. That is why world is interesting to us. Why? Because it gives a little bit of happiness and distress all the time. That's why we are connected with the world, they are not connected with the world. That is the big difference. That is why these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, they give you an insight into a realized person's situation. What happens in his life? When the self-realization happens, because Antaryami is totally active at all time, all the happiness and distress that's coming from the transactions of this world all goes to Antaryami, and he swallows everything. The result that he is always in a state of realization. Aham kratu, aham yajnam, swathaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evajyam, aham agni, aham hudam. That is what that verse is saying to us. Otherwise it is, that is the way to understand that verse. If you start thinking, otherwise normally what people think is they read this verse and thinking 5,000 years ago Krishna came here and Krishna is saying to us that I am the enjoyer of the sacrifices, and we start thinking in a different direction altogether. But Krishna's presence in this world now is in this form as Antaryami, and it is referring to Antaryami who is this verse is refers to actually. It has to be like that. It cannot be, you should not look into that historic personality who came 5,000 years ago and start thinking that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he can do everything. Yes, he can, but how does he do that? He does it in this way. That is the way we have to understand. He does it, no doubt about that. But how does he do that? Being Ahamalma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashayastida, present in everyone's heart as the Antaryami. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. Everything Krishna is saying there, which is his greatest opulence, which you will see in the 10th chapter later. So, from this verse, you can also, Krishna continues to go on in the same way. In the next verse, if you see, you will see the same thing spoken in a different level. Let's look at that. Pidaham asya jagato. Mata dhada pitamaham. Vedyam pavitram omkaram. Riksama yajurevacham. Pidahamasya jagato. Mata dhada pitamaham. Vedyam pavitram omkaram. Riksama yajurevacham. A verse very similar to the previous verse. In the last verse we have seen Aham Kratu, Aham Yajna, Sodaham, Aham Aushadam, Mandroham, Aham Evajam, Aham Agni, Aham Hudam. Everything is Aham. Again, in this verse also, Krishna is saying, Pidaham Asya Jagato, Mada, Dada, Pidamaha, Vedyam, Pavitram, Ongaram, Rik, Samam, Yajurvedacha. Isn't it? Similar to the last one. Here Krishna is saying, I am the father of the universe, I am the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable Om. I am also the Rigvedam, Samavedam, Yajurvedam. All the Vedas, also it's me. It's me. So let's understand these words just like the last words. Krishna says, Pidaham asya jagato mata dhada pidamaha. Very interesting, isn't it? This is, I am your father, grandfather, everything, great grandfather, all of them it's me, he says. How can that be? If you there is interesting things about this spoken. So asya jagadaha pidaham asya jagato mata. So pita janaida aham asya jagato mata janaitri dhadha karma bhalasya pranibhyo vidhada pidamaha pituhu pidavedyam veditavyam pavitram pavanam onkaraha cha hrik sama yaju evacha kimcha. So he said, Krishna is saying, I am the father and I am the mother, both. Isn't this just in many other religions they have understanding that God is a father, isn't it? But in Vedam, the difference is, Krishna says, I am the father as well as the mother. Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pitamaha. Vedyam pavitram omkaram. So, so, it is a difficult thing to understand this. Only in realization these things are explained better, understood better. Let's look at this way. Krishna says, Pidamaham aham. He says, Pidamaham, I am the Pidamaha means, like we say about Bhishma is Pidamaha, isn't it? Bhishma Pidamaha, he says. Pidamaha means grandfather. Pidamaha, Pravidamaha is great grandfather. That way, so normally when Shraddha ceremony is performed, up to three generations you offer the oblations. Up to father, grandfather, and the great grandfather. Up to three generations you are supposed to offer the oblations to them. Many of us may not have seen the great-grandfather, sometimes not even the grandfather, but still, when they chant the mantram, it's referred to these three generations. So, once it was a situation happened like this, you will come across this if you really deeply look into it, that we only look into the world where there is a lot of advertisement and propaganda going on. We get carried away by all that, isn't it? But there are many people who studying Shastram, and through realizations, they live a life in that, through that life. So in one instance, in a Agraharam, Agraharam means where there were a group of people who had lived a life in that way, there was a very old Brahmana who lived there, who has very experienced and realized many things from the Shastram. And practically he lived a life of very austerity, austere and simple life. But on an official level he did not take sannyasam or anything. He lived a simple life at home. And at the same time, because normally what happens is when someone in the society, generally the tendency is, as soon as somebody changes the color of the cloth or changes his name or calls a danda, people start thinking, attribute to that person, whether he has got it or not, we will attribute so many things to him, to that person. This is the nature of the society. That is not going to change. So, but exactly there are people who have, without any qualifications, who have changed the clothes and changed the name. There are other side also, there are many householders who haven't changed their name, who haven't taken any, change their clothes, but remaining in their position where they are, but at the same time in a very high state of realization. This you will see in many instances. You have to look into it very seriously, only then you will find that. It's not that everything is, we are taking everything very, in a way, we think that people who have taken, or somebody has changed the clothes, or changed the name, or gone through the ceremony, that he has changed everything. It hasn't changed. That's a misunderstanding. Indeed, there are many, many cases, there are people who haven't changed their clothes, who haven't changed their names, and who haven't taken danda in their hand, living at home, but in a very highly realized state. That is possible. It can always happen. Why? Because in their life, they for years and years, they have practiced this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and it has gone so deeply inside, they never felt the necessity to change it anytime. So it so happened that he was not interested. Naturally, in that realized state, karmanushtanam, that means all these various karma, what we talk about, doesn't have any impact on that person anymore. Karmam is shraudam or smartam. Doesn't matter whether through the shraudam, shruti or smriti. They are all applicable at some stage in life. After that, after self-realization I mentioned before, they don't apply. They have nothing to do with the person. So when this particular person who was in that state, when the shraddham time came for his father, so other people also in the same community who were present there, they know that it was his time for the shraddham of his father, of the father. So they went up to him and asked him, whether have you performed the shraddha ceremony for your father? He says to them, how can I perform the shraddham? He says, where is my father? He says, that was his question. Where is the father? So they asked him, why do you ask that question? Because normally that's our mundane nature to ask a question like that, isn't it? He says, I don't have a father and I don't know who my father is. I don't know who my grandfather is, he says. I am my father, he says, and I am my grandfather as well. Because when self-realization happens, this concept of father, grandfather, great-grandfather is all based on the body, is it not? Once you move away from that state and come to the platform of realization, then this father, mother all drops away. They do not have anything to perform anymore. So he says here that I am living, which means my father is living, grandfather is living as well. Grandfather is living. That is this verse is talking about. Pidaham asya jagato, mata dhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitram ongaram, riksama yajure vaja. So others who come to ask him about it, they said, what kind of madness is this? He's telling us that he is the father, grandfather, and they couldn't understand. So they went back without saying anything to him. So the same thing is what that person has spoken is what Krishna is saying here. പിതാഹമസ്യ പിതാമഹ പ്രവിതാമഹ മാതാ ധാത എവ്രിതിങ് ഈസ് മീ കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് സോ വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഫോർ ഹിം നത്തിങ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ദ സോൾ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തിങ് ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് കം ടു ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് നത്തിങ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ദ സോൾ ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഹൗ ഡു യു സേ സംബഡി ഈസ് യുവർ ഫാദർ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ ബോഡി ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് spiritually what do we understand about our own father all you know is the body and the form same thing with the grandfather same with the great grandfather so many generations all these things these ceremonies what we perform in the name of shradham and pitrakarmam and everything is so long as we are on the platform of the body as soon as you get released from the body you are in the state of the consciousness of the self once that is reached There is no father, there is no mother, there is no grandfather, there is no great-grandfather. And that is why he asked that question to them who came to him asking this question about Shraddham. So that's an important point. Why? Pidaham asya jagadom, mata dhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitram ongaram, riksama yajurevaja. Krishna is saying, after, that is why this is called Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam. Why this chapter is called? Once you get to this state, all other material obligations are over. It is finished with that. Once you have escaped from the body, once you have got to realize you are properly situated in identification with the self, up to that time, all the Shraddham, all other Pitrakarmam, all other rituals of this world mean something. After that, what does it mean? It means nothing. It means nothing after that. Then even the society may continue doing it. You won't see Shuga Brahmarshi or Jadabharada or Dattatreya Maharshi performing Shraddha ceremony. Do you? They don't. Why? They have gone beyond all. They have transcended. They have crossed beyond all these things. That's what has happened. That is why Krishna is saying these ceremonies and these rituals and all other things what people take so seriously, think that it's all spiritual, instead of endeavoring for realizing the self, they devote all their energy to fit in with the society. To fit in with the society. That's what happens. Most of the people think that by performing Shraddham they are spiritual. But instead of realizing the self, all the energy is directed towards keeping the obligations of the society or fulfilling the satisfying the needs of the society. It does not mean that they are all wrong, but the point Krishna is saying is that in all these sacrifices, he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, it is that Antaryami inside who is the person who is behind everything. It is him you have to recognize first. Therefore, here also, Pidahamasya jagato, Mada dhada pidamaham, Vedyam pavitram ongaram, Riksama yajurevajam. There is an interesting explanation on this. You will see in Puranam so many interesting stories, isn't it? Like if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, what do we say? Brahma's son is Shiva. Is it not? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma's son is Shiva. And who is Brahma? Vishnu's son is Brahma. Because from Vishnu came Brahma. So that means father is Vishnu and son is Brahma. And in the same logic, if you apply, Brahma is the father and Shiva is the son. That's how, according to the birth chart in the Bhagavatam, it is like that. So when Shiva and Parvati was getting married, Shiva and Parvati were getting married. And who was the priest? Priest was Brihaspati, the demigod's priest, Purohit, isn't it? Brihaspati is the priest. So in the marriage ceremony, they have to ask the question to the bridegroom, who is the father? Who is the grandfather, who is the great-grandfather, like that you have to ask all, because they bring all, you'll see this in all the ceremonies. They think if you do all these things, everything is very spiritual after that. But after doing all these things, they break up and go two different ways. That also we see in the same world. So that's how spiritual the whole thing becomes then. Anyway, so Shiva was getting married to Parvati. Brihaspati asks Shiva, tell me about your father's name to Shiva, he says. Shiva replied, my father is Brahma, he says. So, because as Rudra, Shiva is Brahma's son. As Rudra, if you look into Bhagavatam, that is born as the son of Brahma, isn't it? Brahma's born from his mind, Shiva was born. Then he asked him, who is your grandfather? Vishnu. So you have to say three generations, isn't it? Who is your grandfather? It's Vishnu. So then he asked this question, who is Vishnu's father? When that question comes, then in Puranam there is a story where Shiva is the father of Vishnu. So what happens now? It becomes a circle now. Isn't it? It becomes a circle. Who is your father? Brahma. Who is grandfather? Vishnu. And who is Vishnu's father? Me. It has become like this. This is that marriage. This is Shiva Parvati marriage. Brihaspati's questions to him. It's spoken about that. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha. Everything is soul, atma, inside. And so the father of this world, the mother of this world, dhada. Dhada means one who is carrying this world, dharani. That's how that word dhada comes from. Pidaham asya jagato. So, in other religions, all they say, he is the father. God is the father, it says, isn't it? So, father in the heaven, there's no reference to mother there, is it not? But in Bhagavad Gita, have you noticed, Krishna says, I'm also the mother, not only the father. Because, so when you inquire about the mother, the question comes, if you say, father in the heaven, then where is the mother? Who is the mother? That question will naturally come. But in the Vedic system, what they have explained that is, so Krishna has separated into two, Prakriti and Purusha. You will see that in the Bhagavatam later, talking about that. So, otherwise you will have to go to somebody else. But here, Krishna doesn't want that, I am the father as well as the mother, he says. And when he says father and the mother, he is the Purusha and the Prakriti. Purusha and the Prakriti. In the Sankhyam, it is Purusha and the Prakriti. Krishna is saying, Prakriti is me, Purusha is also me. In other words, Prakriti is the manifested form and Purusha is the unmanifested one. Atma is the unmanifested one. Prakriti is the manifested form. That is how in the Vedic system. Which will make a lot more sense, because from manifested form has come from the unmanifested. Avyaktani di bhudani, earlier Krishna says in the 7th chapter, isn't it? That so avyaktam pidaham asya jagato madha dada pidamaha. Therefore, one great devotee said to Krishna that you are my father and mother. Normally, if father beats, mother will give some shelter. Or if mother beats, father will give some shelter. But it so happened to me that you are my father and mother. So if you beat me, where will I go? He said. This is a devotee's question. Because he was put into a lot of difficulties in life. And he was suffering heavily. So he says to Krishna that, generally, if my father gives me trouble, I can go to the mother. Or if mother gives me trouble, I can go to the father. But in my case, it so happened that you happen to be my father and mother, both. So where do I go if you give me trouble? So don't give me much trouble, he said to him in that way. So actually, you can see from this, neither a man or a woman is mother and father. It is not based, normally our conditioning is such. We see the body and say, oh, this is a mother, that's a father, isn't it? So, this both father and mother, this comes from Krishna. It is Krishna's swabhavam, it is. Krishna's nature that it is, to be a father as well as the mother. So, only thing is, when a woman has a child, that potency of Krishna manifests in her. Madhurtvam, motherhood. That manifests in that person. So, here you can see this motherhood is a great mystery. In that way, it's a great mystery. That is why in the Devi Bhagavatam it mentions, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Madhuri Rubena Samsthita. Sarva Bhudeshu. That means, from the Vedic point of view, that mother nature, father, mother has two different nature, isn't it? Purusha and Prakriti has a different nature. Madhuri Rubena Samsthita, in the form of motherhood, who is present in everyone. In men also, not only in the women, in the men also, the same qualities does exist. But it doesn't manifest like the way it manifests in the women. So here you can see, so as far as one's own child is concerned, when a child is born, this particular aspect of Krishna manifests in that person. So for a mature person, a person who understands this principle, instead of feeling proud about that, I am a mother, if he realizes, she realizes that, that motherhood that has manifested in her, if she realizes it is Krishna's presence that is present in her, then she will become a jnani. She will realize the truth. Vedam says this, because Vedam talks about in a different way. Vedam says, Putran dashasye dvadasham kriti. In other words, that a lady has had many children, and it is not due to the delivery of so many children that she has become the mother. At the moment, you have the manifestation of the female quality in the person, but when that comes, it leads into matratvam, or motherhood into that person, motherhood into that person. And that is the most important thing, that motherly nature. On the other hand, that feminism, what you see in a woman, is not permanent. That's not permanent. Why? That is based on the body. Whereas the relationship with as a mother, that comes from Krishna. That comes from Krishna. Whereas in the modern world, all the fight is based on this, isn't it? Man, woman fighting everywhere, that there is the, they call men as male chauvinists and women as feminists, and very strong-minded people are there in both sides. That you can see that it comes to all society also. Like today we have discussion about this, whether women should be gurus or not gurus and all. Why it is so strong? Because it's all based on the body, not with the right understanding. The bodily based things has no meaning. It's a temporary thing. It will come and go. What matters is here is that Krishna's presence in a person manifests at certain situations, in a man as well as in the woman. In the woman, it comes in the form of the mother, the mother qualities, that is what. But instead of thinking that I become a mother and feeling proud about it, instead, if that person recognizes Krishna's presence inside as mother, then she will escape. Then she will escape. That means recognition of Krishna's presence as the mother. So, in the Vaidika samskaram or in the Vedic sacrifices also, you will see that the girls, when they are blessed at the time of marriage, is with the mantra which is in this way, addressing her as that you become a mother and realize the truth. It is straight away connected to the self-realization. You become a mother and realize the truth, it says. In other words, connection is between becoming a mother is for realizing the truth, not for it. But that doesn't, of course, happen. That's another thing. But the mantram says that the connection is like this. That madhurtvam, motherhood in a person is an opportunity to realize the self in that direction. So there. So in that process, in order to bring out that motherhood in a person, madhurtvam in a person, and at the same way, she feels that motherhood towards all other living entities at some stage. When that advances, that motherly nature, when that advances in a person, she feels that relationship with all other living entities in this world, then she has reached the perfectional stage. She has reached the perfectional stage. And when that happens towards the husband, in the same, including the husband, and the husband sees the wife as a mother, and mother sees the wife sees the husband as a son at some stage, which will happen in an advanced state, then both of them have realized the truth. Both of them have realized that they have moved away from the body. At that stage they have moved away from the body and they have reached perfection in their life. So, both this fatherhood and motherhood, that is Krishna's property it is. It is Krishna's asset. It's not from the body. A person who feels like a father and feels like a mother, both these qualities comes from Krishna. Both these qualities comes from Krishna. Matratvam and Pitatvam. That is why Krishna is saying here, Pidaham asya jagado, Mada dhada pita maha, Vedyam pavitram omkaram, Riksama yajure vaja. You have to see these verses in connection with the Vedam, with the Shruti. Otherwise it won't make sense. Otherwise if you just read it, father is Krishna, grandfather is Krishna, great-grandfather is also Krishna. What does it mean? It's all spoken in connection with this understanding that this father and mother, this perception what we have in this world about father and mother, that perception is coming from Krishna. Somebody is a mother, not due to the body, she is a mother. Just when a child is born, Krishna manifests through that person that motherly quality. When it comes through that, that motherly quality, that is the presence of Krishna there in that person. But if the person who has that become a mother, if she identifies herself and takes the pride of being a mother instead of understanding Krishna's presence inside, then she will not reach that state of realization of Krishna's presence inside. Rather, she will go on the bodily level. That is why, both as a father and the mother, Krishna says, it's me who is present in everyone. Pidaham asya jagado mata, dada pidamaha. So both of them, fatherhood and motherhood, is Krishna's. Is Krishna's. It's not ours. It's not ours. So, when this motherhood is present in the mother as well as in the father also, in the father also the same motherhood is present, because in instances it says, it is that quality of the person that makes that difference. When we motherhood is not by delivering the child you become the mother. It's not by purely by that. When you see those qualities of a mother, what are the qualities of the mother? The merciful nature and simplicity and soft nature and compassion for the others. All these things, if they manifest in a man, then he has become the mother as well. The similar motherly qualities, if it develops in a man, he becomes a mother as well. So, Krishna is saying here, both present as father as well as the mother, it is me. It is me who is present everywhere. So, when a person, when in a self-realized state, he has become a matured fruit. How? He has become both father and the mother. Both qualities are present in him. You can list them, can't you? For example, what are the father's qualities? Of course, these qualities, what Vedam is talking about, you may not find that today in the father and the mother, but that's another thing. But from the Vedic point of view, Purusha's symptoms, what are they? Willpower, austerities, penances, controlling nature, protective nature, following the dharma, power, and all these things. These are the nature in the Purusha. In the mother, Prakriti or mother, what are the qualities? There it refers to as kindness, love, and also protective nature, and also simplicity and loving nature. All these qualities are present in the mother. So both of these things, Krishna is saying here, all those things are coming from me, Krishna says. That's why he's saying here, Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha. All those qualities are actually coming from me. In other words, when they manifest in a person, you have to take it that it is coming from Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So, when will they appear properly in a person? This matratvam and pitratvam. That means motherhood and fatherhood. When one completely removes the false ego from inside. When the false ego goes away from inside, both for the father as well as the mother, when that completely goes away, this matratvam and pitratvam, fatherhood and the motherhood, will manifest in a person. So naturally, this Ishwaratvam means that mood of Pitrubhavam and Madhurbhavam present in a person, that is Ishwara's nature, Krishna's nature that is. Both father and mother is Krishna's nature. So when one has released himself from the false ego completely, that person will have that Ishwara's nature. Krishna, that's what Krishna is saying here. Ishwara's nature. So, therefore, many devotees have prayed to Krishna in that way, that father and mother, both you are my father and mother, and it's only through your shelter that I am able to live in this world, because that is a relationship with Krishna. It's not that Krishna is only the father or Krishna is only the mother. Both father and mother is Krishna. So, therefore, it means Pidahamasya Jagata Matha Dada Pidamaha Vidyam Pavitramongaram Hriksama Yajurevajam. So he says, one devotee says to Krishna, that you have given me this quality of Pitrutvam and Matrutvam. Both has come to me from you. And that powerful force that allowed me to take birth in this world. And who brought me through this world and made me mature to understand these things. And without allowing me to fall into Maya. That is the duty of the father and the mother. Mother and the father. So, consciously looking into all these things. That's a devotee's prayer to Krishna. That you have shown that compassion to me as a mother and controller to me as a father and looked after me and protected me all the way through my life in this world without allowing me to be influenced by the Maya. And that quality, Krishna is saying here, is coming from me. Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha. She is the support, she is the sustainer. Karma bhalasya prane bhadipadaha. So, according to also giving the results of the karma, what he has performed, karma bhalam, in other words. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Nacha karma bhalasam yogam sabhavastu pravartate. Says. So, when we perform karma in this world, what results has to come from that and when it has to come? When the results should come and what results should come, the control of that is in Krishna's hands. Isn't it? Dada Pidamaha. That is why it says here that Pidaham Karma Bhalasya Prapi Abhadi Vadaha. So his Karma Bhalam, just like as father and mother, Krishna protects us as father and the mother. Similarly, all our karma in this world, what results we should receive and what is allocated to us, that's also decided by Krishna. Krishna decides that as well. And therefore he says here, therefore in many instances, those who have recognized this, they have a relationship with Krishna as father and mother. Relationship with Krishna as father and mother. Sometimes you will see this in very, very ancient temples. In Chidambaram particularly, you will see this. There, those who are doing the deity worship there, they are called Dikshidars. So Dikshidars, they say their ancestors have come from Kailasam, from Lord Shiva's abode. That is why Chidambaram is famous for. So many, many thousands of generations before, they had come and they engaged in the service, Shiva service there in the temple. But there is still a certain system there. When a child is born, the family members take the child in front of the deity and says to the child, look, showing Lord Shiva's form there, look at your grandfather. They say to the child in that way. It was a tradition that carried on for thousands of years among the family members there who worship the deity there. So because this relationship, Pidamaha, Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram, so once we know, Krishna says, that when the realization happens, when self-realization happens, this situation will come to him, to the realized person. He will realize that this, what we call today as father, mother, just like when we write our CV or whatever applications or anything, write our father's name or whatever we put it on, some connection with somebody, isn't it, in this world. That's all what it means. It means nothing more than that. But when self-realization happens, that connection goes away based on the body. Then the actual connection, what Krishna says here is, that Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram, that is the only truth to be known. What is that? Self-realization happens. He realizes that Andaryami inside, with whom we have a connection as father and mother as well, the feeling of the father and the mother has also come from Andaryami. In other words, rather than being on a connection on the bodily level, it moves into the spiritual level. Up to that point, we are thinking, oh, he is my father, he is my mother. For this father, I have to perform this Shraddham. For the mother, I have to perform this Shraddham. Or to the grandfather, grandmother. Like this, we keep on living in this world in the bodily level. When self-realization happens, when we realize that actual father and mother is Krishna, Andaryami inside, it is from him that this protection, shelter, the softness, the kindness, all the good qualities, everything has come from that source. The source is Krishna. So at that point, we get re-established our connection, proper connection with the Andaryami, and with that, everything changes. It's not the bodily father, bodily mother anymore. It is Krishna who is Pidahamaste Jagado Madha Dhada Pidamaha. And that is proper relationship. Otherwise, what will happen is, just like the Jiva asked Chitrakedu this question. You remember in the sixth canto? What did she say? Narada Maharshi told the Jiva to come back. Chitrakedu was crying. Chitrakedu says, oh, my son is dead, gone. What am I supposed to do? And the son was born after great effort. Angiras Maharshi and Narada Maharshi comes there. Angiras says to Chitrakedu that this child will give you happiness as well as a lot of distress. That's how he was given the benediction. So later on, when the child died, again Narada Maharshi and Angiras comes there. And Chitrakedu was crying, lamenting, because he had only this one child and he was concerned about the kingdom, who is going to rule the kingdom. Narada Maharshi saw the situation and told the Jiva to come back. The Jiva who had left told the Jiva to come back. Jiva comes back and Narada Maharshi says to Jiva, why do you give so much pain to your father and mother, Kridadidi and Chitrakedu? So Jiva's answer you should read there. He will tell you there. Jiva is saying that I haven't caused any happiness or distress to anybody. My food is finished here. I'm going to the next place where my food is ready. I'm going there to collect my food. And so many lifetimes, I had so many father and so many mother. And I was also father and mother for so many people in so many lifetimes. If I start looking into all these things, I just don't have the time, he said. I'm going. And he left. When the Jiva said this, Chitrakedu opened his eyes. That means, due to Angiras Maharshi's mercy and Narada Maharshi's mercy, Chitrakedu started seeing things properly. This is exactly what Krishna is also saying here. That when you come to understand, through realizing self is so important. What does self-realization does to us? ഈ ടേക്സ് അവേ ഓൾ ദി അവിദ്യ ഓർ അജ്ഞാനം ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഓൾ അവർ അവിദ്യ അറ്റ് ദ മോമെൻറ്റ്. ഓൾ ദീസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ്, മൈ ഫാദർ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ ബോഡി, മദർ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ ബോഡി, സോ മെനി ബോഡിലി എക്സ്റ്റെൻഷൻസ്, ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് അവിദ്യ ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഓൾ ദിസ് ഹാസ് ടു ഗോ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെൻ റിയലൈസേഷൻ കംസ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ creates a situation that this ignorance goes away from inside, based on the body, based on the body, all connection. But what do we have done is we think that all these rituals and these things are self realization. We take it like that and continue with the bodily identity. We don't want to come out of the body anymore because once you lose your identity with the body, then you are not a member of the society. Society won't respect you anymore, so you feel lost in that. But Krishna is saying to us that when self-realization happens, even your understanding of father, mother will change. Because we don't know at the moment, father, mother, all these things, these qualities is Krishna's. It is coming from Krishna. And when we come to the platform of the soul, when the self identifies with the, when the individual identifies with the self, Krishna is saying that all other false identities drops away. Based on the body, and rather comes to a platform of the soul. And when self-realization leads into knowledge, leads to the knowledge, proper knowledge of the proper situation, what it is. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Pidaham asya jagata, mada dhada pidamaha, covered everything. I am the father, I am the mother, I am the great grandfather, everything. Pidaham asya jagata, not only you, for the whole creation. Krishna is the father, isn't he? Krishna is the mother. Actually, all these qualities of father, mother is coming from Krishna. It's not coming from our father or mother. Normally, we identify with the father and mother. We say, oh, his father was like that, so his son is also like that, we'll say. Like father, like son. That has no meaning. Spiritual language, like father, like son, has no meaning. That is his vasanas that has come through him. It is not the father is responsible for that. Of course, the scientists will say it is the genes and all kinds of things they will make out from that. But who puts the genes there in that way, if it is like that? Who has put it there? Pidahamasya jagato, madha dhada pidamaha. Quite often you see, like the father, not the son. If that rule is correct, Hiranyakashipu's son should not be Prahlada, isn't it? It's just opposite it is. There, like father, like son doesn't work. So, like father, like son, you can generally make such statement, but it doesn't mean anything. It's completely mundane statement. It doesn't have any spiritual connotations to that or spiritual meaning to that. But spiritually, you can see Krishna explains it better. Krishna is saying to us, these qualities of the father, qualities of the mother, they are all in me. Because I am the father and the mother of everything. And when one recognizes that, then he will escape from here. That is the only way you can escape, because that's where those qualities of the father as well as the mother, they come from Krishna. And if that happens, it can happen in a man and a woman. It is not based on the body anymore. That is what that statement, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Matri Rupena Samstida, Namastase 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 Namo Nama. That sarvabhudeshu madhara rupena samstita, in all living entities, whether it is in the human species or in the animal species, doesn't matter. In all species, that father and mother exist. The pigs also got father and mother, isn't it? Pigs also, dogs also got father and mother. But why they are not, are they not, based on our logic, they also got their father, mother, based on the body. But Krishna's point is, that these quality of father and mother, what we experience is actually coming from Krishna. I mean from Krishna. So strictly speaking, Krishna is saying, when you realize this, Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha, you have realized the proper way, understood it properly. Otherwise it's a false understanding. So therefore, important thing is, as soon as we get the human body, Krishna says, realize the truth. Realize the truth. Andaryami inside. Who is present inside. That is the purpose behind that. What he has spoken. Vedyam pavitram omkaram. So, which is very solemn, very sublime, he says here. So, and when you go and touch that realization of the Antaryami, Krishna says here, when that realization happens, and when you go and touch Antaryami, at that time we get purified. We get purified. We are properly situated. And that is what that word Omkaram. Omkaram means pranavam, om, isn't it? Pranavam. Pranavam or om is another symbol of the Brahman. Because you have realized the Brahman properly, that means om is realized. That is why that om comes there. When self-realization happens, you realize the Brahman. Brahman realization comes to a person, and at that time, his realization is such that he has touched the truth, therefore, pavitram omkaram. Pranavam realization. Brahman realization is omkaram, pranavam realization. So, Krishna says, pranavam or om is a symbol of Brahman. It's a symbol of Brahman. And then Krishna says, hriksama yajurevacha. Isn't it? All three Vedam, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, all three of them is me, Krishna says. How do we understand that? Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam. So, in other words, he says here, once you have realized Krishna, realized the Self, you have known all the Vedam. You don't need to study Vedam after that. It's only up to the point of self-realization Vedam has any meaning. After self-realization, there is no necessity to continue after the Vedam. Study of Vedam is not necessary. What will he do with the Vedic hymns, Krishna says? What will he do with the Vedic hymns? And what will he do with the Samavedam? What will he do with the Yajurvedam? This is the point, that Shastram is there for a purpose. What is that purpose? To realize the Self. After self-realization, then you don't go back and study Shastram again. There is no need for that. It's not required anymore. Purpose is finished. But most of the time, people think that whole life my job is to study Shastram. They come to that understanding. But here, Krishna is saying here, in Valmiki Ramayanam, there is a story about this. In Kishkinda, they're going to the Pamba River, and through the river bank, Rama, Lakshmana and Sita, they were walking along the Pamba River. In the Pamba River, Rama and Lakshmana were walking. On the other side of the river bank, Sugriva was there, and Sugriva saw them coming along, and he told Hanuman, Anjaneya, to go and find out who they are. To find out who they are. So, Sugriva told Hanuman, don't go in this monkey form, go like a brahmachari, human body, in a brahmachari form, go up to them and find out who they are. When from a very distance, Sugriva saw them and thought that they are some important personalities. It was like that. So, Hanuman goes there in the human brahmachari form. Hanuman goes to see them. And when he saw Ram and Lakshmana, they both looked very much similar. He didn't know who they are, isn't it? You don't know who they are. And they looked very similar. And Hanuman got confused. Who is the elder? Who is the younger? So the etiquette is you don't speak to the younger one, you speak to the elder one. That is the normal system, that you don't speak to the younger one, you speak to the elder one. So Hanuman didn't know how he should address them. He was having a little difficulty seeing them in this. Both of them look very beautiful, and also princely family, royal family members, isn't it? They were very attractive looking. And Hanuman was in a confused state. So Hanuman says to them everything in a plural language. He addressed them both instead of saying in a singular way, so that not to offend them. He thought that he will address both of them all the time, and all conversation also with both people together. Keeping Rama and Lakshmana together, he started the conversation with them. Instead of addressing separately Rama or Lakshmana individually, he gave importance to both of them and spoke to them equally and inquiring about them everything on a dual level, both of them involved in that. So he says to them, looking at both of you, look as though you are from some great royal families, he says to them, and looks like demigods, appears to me like that, he says, and why have you come to this place? That's how Anjaneya Swami put it, the question. So all these questions, many, many questions are there in the Ramayana. You'll see Hanuman asking so many questions, but all addressing to both of them at the same time. At the same time. Ramchandra kept on observing this, the way Hanuman has spoken. Ramchandra kept observing that, never answered any question. As soon as Hanuman has stopped, Ramchandra turns to Lakshmana and says to him like this. So, without answering any questions to Hanuman, he says to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, look at this. This person has studied everything. He knows Rigvedam, he knows Yajurvedam, and he has also studied Samavedam. Shruti means these three, isn't it? Three. That Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, all Vedam this person has studied. Talking about Hanuman, Ramchandra talks to Lakshmana about Hanuman. So, not only that, he has also studied the grammar very well, Vyakaranam, very well, and also knows the language of the sound, Shabda Shastra. He knows very well, he says. And he is a great personality, no doubt about that, he says to him. So, and he says to him, Lakshmana says to him, that how do we know that? Lakshmana says, so he says to him, from, you see, when he, have you observed this? He says to, Ramchandra says to Lakshmana, all through his conversations, he has never projected himself in his words. Never used the word I anytime. Never using that word I. Never projecting about himself in any of these conversations. And that is a symptom of a person who has studied Rigvedam. Because Rigvedam takes away these things from inside, this ego. Ego goes away. Never he can speak in terms of, normally when we talk, everything is I. Every word is one I in the end and an I at the end. I is so important for us, isn't it? That's our conversation. But do that training, that's what Ramchandra is saying. A person who has mastered Rigvedam, when he speaks, Ahankaram will not have anything to do with it. He can speak in that way and still communicate with others. So he says like that, that and because Rigvedam is all the way through, it is paying obeisances to Vishnu. In Rigvedam, lot of the hymns are paying obeisances to Vishnu. So when you continuously recite these hymns, that becomes your consciousness inside. So that is what has happened to him. In other words, that discipline has happened inside, not to speak to anyone with the ego, from the platform of ego. That purity he has attained already. That is what Ramchandra is saying to Lakshmana. Ramchandra immediately sensed that Hanuman was a very learned person, wasn't he? He was a very learned personality. So, attributing that to Hanuman, he says to Lakshmana in this way. Then he says, have you observed another thing? He says to Lakshmana, whatever he has spoken, it is not coming from his mind and brain. It's coming from his realizations. You can observe that also, he says. They can easily find out these things, isn't it? When you speak from your brain and mind, and or when you speak from your realizations. So that's why Ramchandra says to Lakshmana, if someone is able to speak like this from realizations, that means he has studied Yajurvedam very well. Because Yajurvedam makes this quality, it takes away, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer from inside. How in a subtle level purification happens in a person. That's what it does. Yajurvedam, that is why Brahmanas for thousands and thousands of years, they continuously recite Yajurvedam, Rigvedam, even today Samavedam. For what reason is that? This purification happens. Because those hymns in the Vedam have this potency to purify these aspects of our അഹങ്കാരം, ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ. അഹങ്കാരം ഈസ് ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ ഈസ് പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ എവറി വൺ ഓഫ് അസ്. പെർട്ടിക്കുലർലി ബ്രാഹ്മണാസ് ആർ വെരി സെൻസിറ്റീവ് ടു ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ദേ വുഡ് നെവർ ലൈക്ക് ടു ബി ഇൻ ദ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദെയർ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ടി ഫോർ ദം ടു ഐഡൻറ്റിഫൈ വിത്ത് ദ ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ. വേറാസ് ദി അതർ വർണ്ണം they will more identified with the false egos, isn't it? So here the secret is Rigvedam takes away the I from inside, the false ego. Yajurvedam makes the realization in a person strong through Yajurvedam is based on sacrifices. Yajnam is for what, which is Krishna calls it as karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. What does karma yogam does? കർമ്മയോഗം ടേക്സ് അവേ കർത്തൃത്വ ഭോക്തൃത്വം ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഐ ആം ദ ഡുവർ, ഐ ആം ദി എൻജോയർ, ഗോസ് അവേ ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഇഫക്റ്റ് വിൽ ബി ദർ ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഹാസ് സ്റ്റഡീഡ് യജുർവേദം. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ഹസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹനുമാൻ. ബിക്കോസ് ഹി ഹാസ് മാസ്റ്റേഡ് ഋഗ്വേദം, മാസ്റ്റേഡ് യജുർവേദം, രാമചന്ദ്ര സേസ് ടു ലക്ഷ്മണ, യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദോസ് ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ഇൻ ഹിം നൗ ത്രൂ ഹിസ് വേർഡ്സ്. ഹി സേസ് ടു ഹിം ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് all his words are coming from the heart, it's not coming from the mind or the brain. Mind or the brain, that is why when we go and talk to Krishna also, Krishna knows that it's not coming from the heart, it's coming from our, we have heard something from somewhere and we are repeating in front of Krishna. So Krishna says it's coming from the brain anyway, so let it stay like that till it goes into the heart. It will be understood. Krishna knows that that when it comes from the heart, it will have its effect. So that is why what we spoke about last Sunday also, that when things don't move to the heart, or heart means in the consciousness, it will not have any effect. It will just continue like as much as it's recorded in the computer or in the CD, it's recorded here. That's the only difference. There's no other difference at all. So instead of playing the CD, you can play here and enjoy it, but otherwise it doesn't mean anything more than that. But that's why Krishna says here that Rigvedam he has studied, how you can see from the words that ego is not projecting at all in his words. Samavedam, Yajurvedam he has studied very well. Why? Everything is coming from the heart, he says. And then what else he says? He says to him, Nabihral Kandarasaha. In the Ramayanam, that's how he says. Nabihral Kandarasaha. If you look at his sound, he says, it doesn't come from just from the our like us, from the throat. It comes from the navi, hrutkandha rasaha. Before it comes, that because it comes from the proper source, he is able to. Even a very cruel person, if he takes a sword and try to kill Hanuman, if he speaks, he will drop his sword and stay quiet. That's how beautiful way Hanuman spoke to Ramchandra and Lakshmana. Where is that sweetness? That sweetness in the speech has come from Samavedam. Samavedam's beauty, that is. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? That Samavedam, what is the beauty of Samavedam? Samavedam makes our sound, purifies the sound. That Samam, Rigvedam itself is sung in the form of a song, that is Samavedam. Many hymns in the Rigvedam, when it is sung in the form of a song, that is called Samavedam. Samavedam is that. So therefore he says, he is a Samavedi. He is a Rigvedi, he is a Yajurvedi, he is a Samavedi. Ramchandra says to Lakshmana. and then Ramchandra talks to Lakshmana about his bodily features and says to him like this, Rigvedi, Yajurvedi, Samavedi. Okay, all of these things, one who has realized the self, Krishna says, that's me then. Then he doesn't have to, in other words, he says, Rigvedi, Yajurvedi, Samavedi. The goal of all the Vedam is to realize the self, is to realize the self. Once you have realized the truth, everything is finished. Then whatever that realized person speaks, it will be like this Hanuman's speech. When a person is self-realized, when he speaks, it will be like the way Hanuman has spoken. That means all his words will come from the heart. From the heart. And the sweetness of the words, and also as without projecting any image of the false ego or the self. So you can see what are the impurities in us. Now, to some extent, we'll understand about ourselves. Is it not? We know now our own problems. Because we have no Rigvedam, ego is always there in everything what we say and do. Because there is no Yajurvedam, in everything we have ownership, and I'm the doer and I'm the enjoyer. Because the Samavedam culture is not there, everything what we speak is like, as it comes out. There is a big difference. Self-realization changes everything. Self-realization is not a subject to study like in the university, like chemistry and physics. It has to change. If it doesn't change, what does it happen? What does it mean? It means nothing. We are losing our identity with the ego, false ego, and we are getting back our pure identity as the soul. When that happens, all these changes will happen. That is why Krishna is saying all these things in this chapter. Pidahamasya jagado mata dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram riksama yajurevacha. See that verse? How it carries that so much in it. That pidahamasya jagado mata dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkara riksama yajurevacha. So everything, all Vedic literature, Shruti, Smriti, everything, everything up to this point of realizing the self. After realizing the self, whatever that person does, speaks, or all his image in this world is exactly as though he has mastered all the Vedic literature. In other words, the impact of the Vedam in a person you can see there. This will be the impact. Why people study Vedam? For this reason only. Of course, nowadays nobody studied Vedam. Everybody is studying engineering and other things, isn't it? So, what to do? So, therefore, we are like this. But in the Vaidika tradition, Vaidya Samskaram is to purify the person. To purify the person. And we don't get purified. We get degraded with the modern education. It doesn't purify us. It degrades us further and further. Isn't it? So, but you can see from the Vedic point of view, education means this, that able to come out of that ajnanam or avidya in us, that I am this body, and identification with the body, and all other bodily things. And what is interesting here is, the same Vedam who takes us holding our hand to realize the self is instructing us to follow so many rules and regulations in this world. This Krishna will discuss with Uddhava later on in the Bhagavadam. It's a very interesting aspect of that. And that is a very important question from Uddhava. Uddhava asked Krishna this question, that Vidhi and Nishedam, for example, all these rules and regulations of this world, in the Vaidika tradition there is hundreds and thousands of rules and regulations to follow for every member in the society. It's meant to follow that. At one point, Vedam is telling us, you should do this, do this, do this, do this, so many things to do. And so many things not to do. Very clear instructions on that. And a lot of people follow that very rigidly, used to follow very rigidly. And Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, that this same Vedam, who is telling everybody to follow all these regulations and rules, finally tells us to leave everything and go from this. How does this work? That we'll discuss when we come to the 21st chapter, 20, 21, 22 in the 11th canto. Very interesting question that is. In a very subtle level, that question is. Because it is a very confusing thing. People very easily get confused with the Vedic philosophy. People start thinking nothing is straightforward. Everything is very complex and complicated. So they find it very hard. And they pick up whatever that suits them then. Is it not? But it is not like that. There is a definite plan behind all these things when Krishna has spoken that. But that we'll see when we get there. So here you can see, Krishna mentions here that one who has realized the self, one who has realized the self, he is a Rigvedi, he is a Yajurvedi, he is a Samavedi. Because purpose of all the Vedam is what? To realize the self. To realize the self. വേദൈശ്ച സർവൈരഹമേവ വേദ്യോ വേദാന്തകൃത് വേദവിദേവ ചാഹം സർവസ്യ ചാഹം ഹൃദി സന്നിവിഷ്ടോ മത്തസ്മൃതിർജ്ഞാനമപോഹനം ച വേദൈശ്ച സർവൈർ അഹമേവ വേദ്യോ വേദാന്തകൃത് വേദവിദേവ ചാഹം. ദാറ്റ്സ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത, ഇസ്നേ. വാട്ട് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ദർ? വേദൈശ്ച സർവൈർ അഹമേവ വേദ്യോ, ത്രൂ ഓൾ ദ വേദം ഐ ആം ടു ബി നോൺ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ആം? കൃഷ്ണ ഹസ് അന്തര്യാമി ഇൻസൈഡ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് യു ആർ ഗോയിങ് ടു റിയലൈസ് ദർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് യു വിൽ റിയലൈസ് ത്രൂ ദാറ്റ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ്. വേദൈശ്ച സർവൈർ അഹമേവ വേദ്യോ. That when self-realization happens, when you realize the self, what is self? What is self? When that realization happens, you have understood the Vedam. You have realized the Vedam. That's what it means. So all this, therefore, studying the Vedam, studying all the Shastram, practicing that, all of this has only this one goal, to realize the self finally. And once it has happened, then he has realized everything. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, everything is me, isn't it? Pitahamasya jagato madha dhada pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram riksama yajurevacha. So when you realize the self, then all these verses will make some sense. Up to that time, you can only talk about it. It is very difficult to comprehend that, because it is through self-realization you will notice that what these verses Krishna has spoken makes very meaningful. It is very meaningful. And saying that, again, Krishna is talking about something in a similar way. Let's look at that verse. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrad പ്രഭവ പ്രളയസ്ഥാനം നിധാനം ബീജമവ്യയം ഗതിർ ഭർത്താ പ്രഭു സാക്ഷി നിവാസാശരണം സുഹൃദ് പ്രഭവ പ്രളയസ്ഥാനം നിധാനം ബീജമവ്യയം ഗതിർ ഭർത്താ പ്രഭു സാക്ഷി നിവാസാശരണം സുഹൃദ് പ്രഭവം പ്രളയസ്ഥാനം നിധാനം ബീജം അവ്യയം. ദി ഐ ആം ദ ഗോൾ, ഐ ആം ദ സസ്റ്റൈനർ, ദി മാസ്റ്റർ, ദ വിറ്റ്നസ്, ദി എബോഡ്, ദ റിഫ്യൂജ് ആൻഡ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഡിയർ ഫ്രണ്ട്. ഐ ആം ദ ക്രിയേഷൻ ആൻഡ് ദി അനൈഹിലേഷൻ, ദ ബേസിസ് ഓഫ് എവറിഥിങ്, ദ റെസ്റ്റിംഗ് പ്ലേസ് ആൻഡ് ദി എറ്റേണൽ സീഡ്. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? You will see, Prahlada Prabhupada also mentions in the last verse, in the 17th verse, right in the middle of the purport, he says, as such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Dada means creator. Not only are our father and mother and parents and parcels, parts and parcels of Krishna, but their creator, grandmother, grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. Part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. Now, some people have a question in their mind. How can it be? Are we all Krishna? This is where the difficulty is. That is why, if you accept this, that aham, aham, wherever Krishna has spoken, Andaryami, this problem gets resolved. Because it is Andaryami's level, Krishna is talking about all these things. And that Andaryami is present in every living being. Nobody is exception to that. If there is life in a person, Andaryami is there. There is no second thought about that. So people read that, then they'll say, oh, this is something different. I thought, I can never be Krishna. But Prabhupada is saying here that part and parcel, he says, actually any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna, he says. Is Krishna. So do not get worried about it. That does not disturb anybody's mind if you understand these verses in the proper way. So here, now in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Gadi Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. Like the previous verses. Earlier, Krishna talked about Pidahamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pidamaha Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram Rig Samam Yajurvedaja. Everything. And prior to that he said, Aham Kradu Aham Yajna Sudaham Aham Aushadam Mandroham Aham Evaji Aham Adni Aham Hudam. Everything me. And so last two verses he spoke. And now in this verse also Krishna is saying, Gadi Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad Prabhavam Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. I am that. I am everything. He says like this. Isn't it? So we will have a look at that after a short break. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam Gadihi Karma Phalam Bharta Poshta Prabhu Swami Sakshi Praninam Kridakra Agradasya Nivaso Yasmin Pranino Nivasandi Sharanam Arthanam Prabhananam Arti Haraha Sukhrad Pratyu Ubagaran Apekshaha San Ubagari Prabhavaha Ulpatihi Jagadaha Pralayaha Praliyade Yasmin Iti. Krishna says, one who controls the results of karma. In other words, as he mentioned before in the Bhagavad Gita, that karmam karma bhalam bhaladhadhav is Krishna. One who gives the results of a karma is Krishna. I have spoken that before, isn't it? That naja karma bhalasam yogam sabhavastu pravartade. Karmam and bhalam, our action and the results from that action, you cannot link that together. Krishna mentioned that before. Because you can see that in this world, two people have performed the same karmam, but the results two people get are different. Is it not? Quite often you see this. Two people have performed the same karmam with the same skill and the same ability, but when the results had come, they are different. Two people have different results. Why? Because one person, he received the karma bhalam by Krishna's sanction in a different way than the other person. That's why he says there, na karma bhalasam yogam subhavastu pravartade. Karmam and bhalam, you cannot connect it together. It is not possible. It is not possible. So here, Krishna is saying that karma bhalam, one who gives is Krishna. Krishna decides what a person should have, how much bhalam, result one must have. And also, he is the witness of all our karmam as well. Witness of all the karma. Karmam, akarmam, all the witnesses here. And Krishna says, Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad. All living entities are living in Krishna. I'll come to that later. And one who takes away all our miseries from us, or removes all our miseries, Sukhrad. And one who does something for us without expecting anything from us. So Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam, and also Krishna says everything is coming from Krishna and everything finally dissolves in Krishna. Everything finally dissolves in Krishna. Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Tatha Sthanam Tishtadi Asminiti Nidhanam Nikshevam Kalandarova Bhogyam Praninam Bijam Praroha Karanam Praroha Dharminam Avyayam. So everything, Krishna is saying, that when a living entity takes birth here, all that he has to go through in this world, in due course of time, in order, whatever he has to experience here, all that is provided by Krishna. Provided by Krishna. And the place where he takes birth, in whatever circumstances, and how he will maintain himself here in this world, and how he will depart from this world under certain circumstances, all this is, Krishna is saying, is under my direction. It's under my direction. So, yavat samsara bhavitvad avyayam നഹി അബീജം കിഞ്ചിത് പ്രരോഹതി നിത്യം ച പ്രരോഹദർശനാ ബീജസന്തതി ന വേദി ഇതി ഗമ്യതേ കിംച. കൃഷ്ണസ് പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് എവ്രിതിങ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ റിമെയിൻ ഫോർ എവർ പെർമനൻ്റ്ലി, that means which doesn't get destroyed at any time, and that seed is necessary. From there only all other manifestation has come. For example, that from very interesting things, if you have looked at it, one seed, okay, the huge banyan tree, if you take it, will have thousands of fruits on that, is it not? Thousands of fruits on the banyan tree. If you take one fruit, which is almost the size of the size of a Brazil nut, little bigger than that probably, you bring that and break it. And if you break it, there will be thousands, hundreds of seeds inside that, in one of those nuts. If you, from the Ashwatha tree or the banyan tree, if you break it, one of its fruits, which is almost the size of much smaller than a tennis ball, if you break it, there will be hundreds of seeds in there. Now, if you take one of those seeds and if you plant it, from that seed, a huge banyan tree comes almost the same size. Is it not? What does that mean? In that small seed, that potency of becoming a huge banyan tree is already kept there. That's what Krishna is making here, the point. Krishna's logic is different, not the way we look at things. Krishna is saying, for the first banyan tree, you take one fruit, you break it up, and there is hundreds of seeds in that. Plant one seed, and in that one seed, there is the potency for another huge banyan tree. And in that huge banyan tree, there is hundreds of fruits, thousands of fruits there, and each fruit in that has got one seed. If you take and plant it, there's another banyan tree comes from that, of the same size. How does that happen? That's what Krishna is explaining there. See that potency in the seed. We think it's only a small seed, but from that seed, it can create a huge banyan tree, which stands for hundreds of feet high, and it spreads around a few hundred feet. A huge banyan tree comes out from a small, very small seed. So where is that potency coming from? That's what Krishna is explaining here. Gadir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam sukhad prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. That bijam, the seed, in every fruit, I am present there. That's from me coming. That capacity of that seed. This is how we have to understand Krishna. Krishna, simply if you analyze Krishna, you can see the beauty. That a huge banyan tree, so many fruits. One fruit you break up and hundreds of seeds. One seed if you take from that and plant, another huge banyan tree comes out from that. Is it not? And from that huge banyan tree, hundreds and thousands of fruits. Take one fruit from that, smash it down, and take one seed from that and plant it, another huge banyan tree comes out from that. That's what Krishna is explaining here. Nidhanam bijam avyayam. That bijam, where is that potency? How does that get that potency? Krishna says, that's me. That's me. So, and because that potency is there in the seed, it never gets destroyed. Therefore, avyayam. Nidhanam bijam avyayam. Krishna says, that potency will never get destroyed because it's me. That's the important thing. That potency of the seed never gets destroyed because it's me who is present there. Now, we'll look at this, that Krishna says, when Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrid Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam, isn't it? So, once our attention, this is the main thing, once our attention means Shraddha, our Shraddha, has gone to the Swarupam, our identity as the soul, if it has gone there, then our job is finished. Our job is finished. Then there is nothing to do after that. Till our attention goes to the source, where it's coming from, which is our Swarupam, that is our identity. After that, there is nothing to study, there is no sadhana, there is no karmam, nothing to be done anymore. After that, because none of them can bind you anymore. Normally, what do we say? Karmam binds us, is it not? Karmam means bondage. Bondage means it creates new karma vasana and it creates a lot of reactions from our karma. Those things won't be there once you have realized the self. That means after self-realization, there is no karma bandhanam, no bondage anymore. And at the same time, there is nothing to be done after that. So, we have nothing to give, nothing to take anymore. And no debt anywhere. Everything is over. Everything is over. So, that means you have performed all the yagam, yajnam, sacrifices, whatever, performed all the anushtanam, regulative principles, all such things, what we talk about very seriously now, comes to an end. Comes to an end. We are thinking these regulative principles is spiritual life, isn't it? We are very particular about that, because I see that that's what is given too much importance all the time. That if you are following regulative principles, yes, I'll accept you as a devotee. If you are not, go to hell. This is our approach in the spiritual life at the moment, isn't it? But that is a very, very crude understanding of spiritual life. That regulative principles are there only to help us to get some understanding of Krishna inside. That's why regulative principles are for. And not to increase our karmic reactions. That simply engaging in sinful activities which reacts, create more vasanas will be created and more reactions will come from that karma. That's what's going to happen. So in order that we put a stop to that, the Bhagavadam and other acharyas have given this instructions to us that you live in a particular way. That's all it is. Nothing more. It's not become spiritual yet. It is still very much on the bodily level. In order to give some arrest or to check our not creating further entanglement in this world, not to create more karma vasanas and not to create more reactions from those karmam. Therefore, these regulative principles has been given. That's the idea behind it. And but Krishna is saying here, after realization, would you be talking about four regulative principles? Nobody will be talking. If you go to a jnani and tell him, are you following all the four regulative principles? He will laugh at you. Would he not? Would you ask him that question? Are you following the four regs? If you say it to him, he will say, well, what are you talking about? Because he doesn't know these principles anymore. It doesn't exist for him. It's finished. It's all gone. He has transcended all of them. That's finished for him. So only at a certain stage, these principles, sadhana, studying Bhagavatam, all these things are up to a stage to take you there. And once you cross that stage, then all these things you are left behind. They have no more value. Value in the sense that they don't have anything to do with you anymore. Anything to do with you. So, so once you have reached that stage, Krishna is saying here, that moment you have realized everything, then he to be situated in that state, that's all what he has to do. And that is his situation. And that will be his state. He is in that state. Gadi Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukharat. Because by now what has happened is that all these knowledge, sacrifices and all other things, when Antaryami inside, Krishna who is present inside, when he has become the goal, when he has become the goal, and when he has become the ultimate object of realization, he is controlling us then. When one has become fully conscious of all these things, what Krishna has spoken here, Krishna is the Gadi. Gadi means ultimate goal is Krishna. Bharta. Bharta means one who controls us. Bharta. Prabhu, master. Sakshi, witness. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasa, where everything is happening. Sharanam, ultimate shelter. Sukhrit, ultimate friend. So, in all levels, it has become Krishna. Krishna has become the object. If it has happened to that person, Krishna is saying here that he no more than there is these principles of regulations or sadhana or any such thing will have anything to do with him. Deity worship, sacrificing, yajnam, yagam, or knowledge, all these things are finished then, because he has reached the goal. Finally, he has reached the goal. And this is why you will see that when in Gopika Gitam, in Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi talking about gopis, he brings this principle very strongly. If you have observed, you will see. When Krishna says to the gopis, before the rasa dance, when he played the flute, all the gopis left home and came to Krishna. So there is a discussion between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna says to the gopis that what you have done is not correct. You have left home and come here in the middle of the night, leaving your husband, leaving your children, parents, everybody. Not only that, in the eyes of the world, you will become a laughing stock tomorrow if you do this. And then Krishna says to the gopis, is your duty not to look after your husband, because you are married women, not to look after your husband and the children? Is that not your duty? And Krishna gives a lot of moral instructions to the gopis. In the Bhagavatam you can see that, isn't it? And if you study the answer from the gopis, have you noticed what gopis have said? Gopi says to Krishna that if we have realized you as the husband, then all the other husbands are all false husbands. They are not real husbands. In the world of these transactions, they are the husbands. We agree. But now the stage has come, we have met the real husband. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. You are the Bharta. Bharta means one who controls, isn't it? Bharta, Bharta in Bhairya. Bhairya is control. So, I am the husband. Krishna is saying this word, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, gopis have spoken to Krishna that time. He says, we have found our Bharta, real Bharta, and you are asking us to go back. Those Bharta who are in the flesh and the blood, they are not our real Bharta. We have met our actual Bharta now. And so therefore, why should we go back? Gopis ask this question to Krishna. You will see in the Bhagavatam, that discussion between Krishna and the gopis. So, Gopi says to Krishna, when we have met our real Bharta, is it not our duty to look after this Bharta? Is that not our responsibility? And Krishna says to gopis, very, very touching way, he says, it is your responsibility in this world, if you are married, even if the husband is a sick person, you should care for him. If the husband is a blind person, you should care for him. And that is the stri dharma, the responsibility of the women. He says to the gopis, Krishna says to the gopis, so many things he said. And even if that person, that it is your responsibility under all circumstances to look after him. Like that, Krishna stresses the importance of the duty of a wife. He's spoken about that. Then gopis asked a question, whatever you have spoken is all correct, Gopi says to Krishna. But who is actually the husband, he says. And that's what they mention. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasya malman. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this verse. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasya malman. Nityapriye padisudadibir artideikim. Tanna prasida parameshwara masma chindya masha pradam tuichirad aravindanetraha. He says, Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalaswam altman. Till you realize the self, whatever you have spoken is true. Gopis are answering this. Actually, Shuga Brahmarshi, using this discussion between Krishna and the gopis, is talking to us. He is telling us these rules and regulations. Whatever dharmam, whatever we are concerned about in this world, because there is dharmam, adharmam principles, isn't it? How one should live in this world. those rules and regulations is only up to a point. Up to what point? Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasvam altman. We are now talking to that person who is our soul. In other words, gopis have recognized Krishna as the Antaryami inside everyone. From this itself you can see that gopis were not ordinary people. Were they? Normally nobody will speak like this, would they? Ordinary people cannot speak like this. But they are speaking to Krishna from their own conviction that this person whom we are talking to now is the Antaryami in all, each one of us. It is He who is present inside us. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasvam altman. That Atma inside is you, inside. And we have understood that He is the husband. He is the husband. Nitya priye patisudha adibir artideikim. And they are giving the example, we discussed this also earlier. Nitya priye, only when we meet this husband and we have a relationship with him, then life is perfect. Otherwise, what we have learned in our life, the so-called husband, the so-called children, all of them have simply given us misery. That's all what they have given us so far. The so-called husband and the so-called children whom we adore all the time in this world, all they have given us so far is nothing but simply misery. Gopis are saying this. That's what he's saying. Kurvandihi tvairatim kushalasvam altman nitya priye. Nitya priya means eternally, if we have any relationship, that priyam, happiness, if it's coming from you, not from them. It's not from them. Nitya priye, because that relationship is happiness that gopis were experiencing is coming from Krishna. That's why he's saying that. Because that is the truth. That is the truth. Patisudha adibirarti deikim. What is the point? We had all this family life, wife, children, husband, parents, everything. But in our understanding, all of that is finally distress. They'll give you a lot of distress and then they will go at the end. Finally, they'll say goodbye and go one day. Isn't it? So, where is that happiness? Krishna, the gopis are speaking this to Krishna. So, it's fine that you have told us about our responsibility and all that. Up to what point? Gopis are asking this. Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindyam asha abradam tuichirad arvindanetraham. Tanna prasida parameshwara. Addressing Krishna as Parameshwara, as the Supreme Personality, that if you are pleased with us, then asha abhradam, please break all that connections. That is what you can do for us, rather than giving us this moral lessons. This is what gopis said to Krishna. Gopis are saying to Krishna, instead of giving us all these moral instructions, rather please break this attachment and connections what we have with our other bodily extensions. Of course, gopis are speaking on a very higher platform. They are saying to this, they were ordinary people. This is what Salsangham has done to them. Due to association with Krishna, they have come to the proper understanding of spiritual life. And that is what is coming through them now. That is why that verse is important. That Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasvam altman nitya priye padisudha adibir arti deikim. What is the benefit of talking about all these things? Krishna has spoken many verses to gopis to go back home and to look after the husbands and children and this, that and the other. Gopis are saying, we have given up all that because we have met who is our soul inside, and that is where the connection is, not with the bodily level. It has come to that state. Tanna prasida parameshwara asma chindyam asha abhradam toichirad aravindanetraham. That please show your mercy to us in such a way that chindyamasha abhradam, break up all our desires inside, if there is something still left. Because when we hear these things from you, you are instigating us to go back again and develop this attachment and connections further. That's not what we want. Asha abhradam toichirad aravindanetraha. So you can see this, that what Krishna is saying here, gopis have already had that in their mind when they spoke to Krishna. Because when gopi says to them, Krishna is saying here, Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, Bharta, both Gadir and Bharata is in that verse. Ultimate goal is Krishna, Gadi. Ultimate goal is Krishna, Gadi. Means self-realization, that's ultimate goal. Bharata, Krishna is the actual husband, not anybody else. So they say to him that the moment we have realized you as the soul present in everyone, the other husband has gone. He's not there anymore. He's not there anymore. To give you an example like this, a young man and a young girl, they got married. Young man and a young girl got married. So you know how it is after marriage. You forget the world, isn't it? You think that the only world exists between husband and the wife, the man and the woman. And they forget about the rest of the world. It remains for a while like that, for a few months or so. Then the misery, the rest of the world comes. And the misery begins after that. So here, gopis are saying, this example is that a man and a boy and a girl got married, and due to some circumstances, the boy had to go away for some time, a long distance. He had to go on business or something like that. He had to go away. So he says to her, look, I'm going. I have to go. I have no choice. Although we got married, we have to stay together and all that, but due to business, I have to travel. So he says to her, I'll give you my photograph, you can keep looking at it and be satisfied. I'll be back soon, in a month's time or whatever it is. So as a very good wife, she thought about her husband all the time when he was away, and kept the photo very close to her in the kitchen and everywhere wherever she was. And while she was taking prasadam, she remembered about the husband, and she lived her life for a month like that. She made the offering also, the food to the husband also, while she was taking food, because of the close attachment in her. After a month, the husband comes back one day. When the husband comes back, will she go back again, look at the photo again, or will she look at the husband who has come back? It is similar to that. Till we realize Krishna, who Krishna is, all these connections in this world, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, all these things exist. The moment that relationship with Krishna happens, all these relationships go through the window. It's finished then. Over. It's over. That is exactly similar to this story. Then the wife won't be making the offering. When the husband comes back after his business trip, she won't tell him, look, you wait for a minute, I'm making my offering to you, to the photo. Will she say that? She won't do that, will she? She will completely forget about the photo, and she will meet her husband and talk to him directly. In the same situation, gopis are saying, up to this point, we had all these husbands and children and grandchildren and parents and everything. Now that we have met the truth, that's why I'm saying, kurvandihi toiradim kushalasvam alpman nitya priye pati sudhadipir arti deikim. Once this relationship has come into existence, the other relationships all finished. It has no meaning anymore. It has no meaning anymore. That is what it is. So everything in the world outside is only a symbolic thing. All relationships in this world is a very symbolic thing. It has no meaning. When we came here, did you know that who is going to be your wife or children or anybody? Nothing. They came in the middle, and they will go also sometime after a while. That's all. All in relationship with the body. Nothing more than that. But we make it such a big thing about based on the body. That is what Krishna is saying here. That everything in this world outside is only a symbol to help you to know the truth. To know the truth. So, everything that is outside us is only a symbol. Outside us only a symbol. The moment your pure identity as the soul has woken up inside, everything that is outside, you will naturally leave it. You won't have any interest in that. Holding on to the other connections in this world. Other bodily connections in this world. At that time, Krishna is saying here that you will not be able to hold on to anything anymore. Even if you want to, you cannot do it. Because the realization has happened inside about the truth. And in that state, he doesn't have anything to give it to anybody or to take it from him. And he doesn't have any obligations to anyone. Like we mentioned before, that he has no obligations to the demigods, he has no obligations to the other living entities, forefathers, or anyone for that matter, he has no, or even to the king, or to the country, or the kingdom. He has no responsibility. For him, Gadi is Antaryami. Antaryami is the Gadi. Bharta is Antaryami. And the Prabhu, what is mentioned there, one who protects him, is also Antaryami. Antaryami. And he doesn't have any more a master outside. No more a master outside. So, his Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, everything is Antaryami inside. Everything is Antaryami inside. Where is he? Where is that Antaryami? So, he is not located anywhere else. He is not in Watford, he is not in London, or he is not anywhere else. He is right inside. That master is right inside. So, Nivasaha. Nivasaha. Why is that word Nivasaha there? Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasaha. Nivasaha means that now he is situated in the soul. He is situated in the soul. Therefore, his existence now is in the soul, not in the body anymore. As soon as self-realization happens, he does not live in the body anymore. He lives in the Antaryami. Identification has happened with the Antaryami. Therefore, there is no more connection with the body either. Not outside. That is why it's mentioned clearly that word Nivasa there. Nivasa means that's where he is living now. He's not living in the body anymore. So, so, and therefore, because he is completely in that realized state, he is totally satisfied in that. Therefore, he is not looking for anything outside. He is always in touch with that Antaryami. Therefore, Sharanam. Nivasa Sharanam, he says. Sharanam means his shelter is that Antaryami then. Not outside. No shelter outside anymore. Most of us, we have shelter in so many places, isn't it? When we live in the material life, we have shelter in so many places. Home, office, family, this, that, so many shelters. All those shelters has gone away. It's only shelter, Nivasa, Sharanam. That is where the shelter is. Antaryami is the shelter. And at the same time, who is the greatest Suhrat? Suhrat means friend. That because that Suhrat is also a reflection of that Antaryami. These are all different feelings that is coming from the Antaryami. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat. These are all different manifestations of emotions from the Antaryami that is coming to us. How do we feel these different emotions? Sometimes to father you feel one relationship. To mother you feel another relationship. To friends you have one relationship. To the society you have a different relationship. So different emotions, the source of all those emotions is Antaryami inside. And when self-realization happens, all these false emotions goes away and we come back to the source where it's all coming from. And when we realize that everything is coming from Antaryami, he becomes Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat. Everything, he becomes everything. He becomes everything. So, such a person, wherever he goes, he will find someone as a friend. Our friendship is based today, whatever friends we cultivate in this world, is based on selfishness, is it not? That, that we all very proudly say, he's a friend of mine, or somebody is a friend, or somebody, and that is very much a mundane concept, is it not? Krishna is saying, there's only one friend, that's Krishna. And that Krishna, when he is your friend, wherever you go, there will be the friend will be there. In some form, that friend will come in front of you. In front of you. This is a proof. It is there in the many case of many, many great personalities. If you look, you will see that how they traveled in this world with this understanding. Gadur Bharta, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam Suhrat. Wherever they go, somebody will come forward as their friend when it is required. Why? Because already they have made their relationship with the Antaryami strongly. So that Antaryami prompts from within. Someone No one whom we may not even know will appear to be as a friend at that time, and he will do what is necessary at that stage. He will do that. If you look into many of those great realized souls, you will see this is a practical experience in their life. Ramatirtha story, if you read, you will see this. Very interesting. And he went to Japan. Somebody sent him from here to attend in a big conference there. He had only one bag with him, no money, nothing. And somebody told him, you should travel to America. He traveled from there. When he got to America, when he got down from the ship, from Japan, he traveled to America. When he got down from the ship, and you will see everybody got down from the boat. And he stood there in the boat looking into the land. So one person came up to him and asked him, are you not getting down? He said, yes. He says to him, has someone come to receive you? He says, yes, you have come to receive me, he said to him. And that person took him and kept him with him for about 6 months or so. If you look into the books, in the Woods of Self-Realization, he has written a famous book about his experiences in the States. He lived in America for a few years in that way. No responsibility. Completely handed over everything to this Antaryami inside. Took care of everything. There was no time he had to suffer for anything. This happened in many, many people's case. This incident has happened. That is that strength in a person. Prabhupada went to America, did he not? So when he went there, although few things were organized in the beginning, but later on, Prabhupada knew very well that that shelter is not any of those people who have given them the sponsorship letter or who told that. That was not what Prabhupada was looking for. The shelter was coming from Antaryami's arrangement. Everything was happening. Antaryami was arranging everything. Why? Because the shelter is in Antaryami. That is this verse. This is that verse which refers to their activities in this world. All self-realized people, you will see this. Gedi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat. All situations, their so-called, and people came. Everybody who had come after that. Prabhupada is a recent history, but before that also, in many cases, this has happened. This is not a new thing. If you study their life, the history, that how they traveled and how the relationships were with the other people, purely based on this principle. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrat Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. That is the understanding. They have absolute faith in Antaryami's power to arrange a friend where it's necessary for their protection, where the help is needed. Where the help is needed, it will automatically come. It will automatically come. In Vivekananda's case also you can read exactly the same thing. What happened there? When he went there for the Parliament of Religions in Chicago, he was not sent for that conference or anything. But when he got there, he heard about this, and then he didn't have any official papers. Because there somebody has to be sponsored and he has needs only a lot of documents and everything. He mentions about that later, that a lady saw him sitting on the street somewhere and asked him, Swamiji, what are you doing here? He said, I've just come here and I don't know what I have to do. He said, this is Parliament, because this Parliament of Religions was famous at that time, and she has invited him to come and speak in that Parliament. So he says there at that time that I never had any documents. She took him to somebody, arranged everything for him to speak in the Parliament, and that is where that famous speech was given. In that meeting. So it is from there, Vivekananda mentions this later, that I had only one faith in me, that was this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrat. So you can see from this that all those who are serious about spiritual life, they have taken Bhagavad Gita's verses into their life and changed themselves. They had that faith in the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Whereas we are still studying it, the verses, and trying to correct it or trying to understand that. But understanding means this, that in practical, in their own life, they have experienced this principle, what Krishna has spoken, which they have proved to us. So, when he didn't have any credentials, that this lady took him and introduced him to the right person who was supposed to be in the managing the whole meeting. So so once that surrender happens, because that is surrender, that is what surrender means. So but if you ask this question, look, if I surrender everything to Krishna, who is going to look after me? If you ask that question, that means that he is not ready. That's what it means. He is not ready for that. Because the question itself is hypothetical. Question is hypothetical, isn't it? Question is hypothetical. So, even when you come to that stage, that means this Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukharat Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. When this verse is realized, then in that stage, the whole creation will look after him. Whole creation will look after him. And that is why he is saying here that this story is not a new thing. It's not started last year or 50 years ago. If you go back to Lord Buddha's time, this verse has been valid. Even from Buddha's time it has been proven. You know what happened with Buddha. Buddhism, what we call today as Buddhism, is something which was started later. Buddha didn't start Buddhism. People started, some followers started Buddhism later. That's how Buddhism has come. And Buddha never wanted to start an institution. Initially, if you look back into the history, he is the person who first started the institution, and he is the person who first realized that institution cannot help. Both. The person who started the institution is Buddha first. I'm talking about spiritual life now, not about religion. Religion, there are so many institutions in this world. There's no shortage of it. And so many bosses and authorities and traditions and institutions and wealth and jobs and all sorts of things going on there in the name of self-realization. That, leave that behind. There's no value to it. Here, important thing to realize is this. Buddha didn't want to start an institution. He started this due to the influence of his own. First time this was done, it was not Christianity or Islam or any other religion. Buddha started this first. And after starting, the miseries of that institution also was suffered by Buddha maximum, more than anybody else. That is that Buddha story. If you read, you will know what happened to him. Buddha says that one point he got so fed up with his disciples. He threw the whole thing away and he said, I'm leaving you all, went to a forest on his own. He had enough of them, like these days also. When the gurus get completely fed up of us, they go. They say, we had enough of you. Because these are simply problem, headache, these disciples thing. As much as we say they are headache, they say we are also headache for them. So, these are all history. You can't ignore all these things. We think simply somebody says something to us, we take it as absolute and start following that without thinking further about it. Later on we realize it, that either they have cheated us or we have cheated them. Who has cheated whom? That's the question. Anyway, so Buddha's story, if you read, you will see Parlekha forest. He goes there. When he goes to the Parlekha forest, and as the person who has institutionalized spiritual life first time is Buddha. Who has institutionalized spiritual life first time is Buddha. Now, one or two things here. Vedic philosophy on a strict basis was never under institution any time. Many things have happened in the recent times. That's another story. But institution will come in your spiritual life as a problem in many instances. Because quite often, you will see self-realized souls coming from nowhere. Where you have not gone, thought about somewhere, somebody appears there. And he realizes the truth. An institution, you will keep on chasing this, like you're beating a dead horse, and nothing comes out from that. This is our experience in this world. Those who have studied this, you will see this happening all the time. So, Buddha was the first person who did this. Who institutionalized the spiritual life. Then when he saw the disciples started, you know what happens with the disciples, don't you? Disciples, he says, one disciple says, I am the next one. Another one says, no, 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 I am the next one. You know that famous story when four disciples, one guru had four disciples. All four of them wanted to be the next one, the next acharya, or the next guru, or whatever that is. So one day, the spiritual master told the disciples that, I'm going to lie down, you should massage my body. So one man was taken one leg, another person has taken another leg, and one person taken one hand, another person taken the another hand. So four of them sat, two on either side, and started massaging. While massaging, by chance, one of them got upset with the other. So he pushed the other man out from there, and he wanted to control the whole thing. So the spiritual master is observing all these things, the problem between the disciples. So he says to them, that why are you fighting in front of me? Even before I have left, you have started fighting. What's going to happen if I leave? What will be the situation? He said to them. And whatever he has spoken at that time, you can see still the reality in this world. It doesn't go away easily. So in Buddha's case also, when the disciples started creating trouble, he decided one day to walk out from the whole scene. He walked away from there. He went to the forest. And that is that forest is called Parleka Forest. Parleka Forest it's called. When he got there, he sat there. He is now in a realized state. You have to remember, Buddha is a realized person. He is sitting there. And whoever has come to him, he gave them direct instructions to them and given them the spiritual understanding and let them go. That's what he did. He gave up all this institution business, everything. So, when you look back into the traditions, you will notice one thing, that Baudham and Jainam, both, the Jainism and Buddhism, they are both non-Vedic. They are not from the Vedas. Although, if you study Baudham and Jainam, in philosophically, they are very close to Vedam, Vedic philosophy. Very close to Vedic philosophy they are. But they are not accepted as Astik. They are not accepted as the Vedic tradition. What is the reason behind that? Reason is this. In Vedam, if you accept a personal God or not, is not the important thing. That's not the important thing. For example, in every other religion, there is a founder, isn't it? Somebody has started a religion, and you will say that if you accept this person's authority, then you are a follower of that religion. Is it not? Whatever it may be, whatever religion it is, doesn't matter. That means your allegiance and your commitment is to that person. In Vedam, it is different. It is not like that. In Vedam, Vedic philosophy is based on this understanding that if you accept the principles of transmigration of the soul, first of all, acceptance of the soul is important, not whether you accept a personal God or not. There are people who accept the reality of the soul, who believes in the transmigration of the soul, who believes in the loss of karma. He is a believer. On the other hand, those who do not accept any of these things, even if he is accepted a personal God, he is considered to be atheist. That is the deeper level of understanding. Because if you look back, Sankhyam, Kapila Maharshi is Sankhyam, Gautama Maharshi is Nyayam, Patanjali is Yogam, Kanada Maharshi is Vaisheshikam, Jaimini is Purva Mimamsa, Vaidavyasa Maharshi is Uttara Mimamsa. All these six different schools of thought comes from the Vedam, and none of them has spoken about any personal form in no circumstances. They have not spoken about the personal form. All of them insist on the authority of the Vedam. That is more important. Because if you throw away the authority of the Vedam, you are left with nothing. Vedam is knowledge. That is why when we say Krishna's form is knowledge, that means more than referring to Krishna as the form in the temple or in a picture or in a deity or whatever. That is, vadandi tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyate. So that vadandi tat tattvam, vadandi tat tattvavidam. Tattvavidam means, tattvavid means one who has realized that tattvam. What they say is that tattvam is advaya jnanam. That advaya jnanam is what? The conclusion of the Vedam. Conclusion of the Vedam, knowledge of the self. That's more important. That's more important. Brahmedi, and that truth is spoken, addressed as Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan in three different aspects. Devotees call them as Bhagavan. Jnani is referred to as Brahmam. Yogis refers to as Paramatma. That is how it is mentioned there. So Buddha goes to this forest. Coming back to this incident with Buddha. Buddha goes to the forest. So when he was in the forest, there was nobody there. He was alone. One elephant saw the Buddha there, and wild elephant in the forest. As soon as the wild elephant saw Buddha sitting there, and it was very cold in the forest, this wild elephant goes and brings all the wood from the forest and builds one small hut for Buddha to rest. Buddha to rest. Not only that, it goes and rolls a very huge stone, and he makes a fire in the forest. There was fire going on. Puts the stone into the fire and heats the stone. And after heating the stone, it pushes the stone into the water and makes the water hot. And brings that water for Buddha to wash, to bathe. He brings the water for Buddha to bathe. Not only that, he brings food, fruits and flowers from the forest and gives to Buddha. Because the same principle, Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrat. Buddha's life later on, his disciple Ananda, who later on went to see Buddha in the forest, he refers, writes about this in Buddha's stories, Buddha Jataka Katha, it says. In there he mentions all this story about Buddha. He says, Buddha, nobody, no disciples went with him because disciples were busy fighting with other things. And they had no time. They said, if he has gone, let him go. We are not bothered about that. We are bothered about other things to worry about in this world. So naturally, the attention has fallen on the something else. So, but Ananda followed him. And Ananda mentions this later, that when he went into the forest, he saw an elephant was looking after Buddha all through his time in the forest. Seeing this elephant, a monkey got very attracted to Buddha. And monkey started supplying flowers to Buddha and fruits to Buddha, bringing it over and giving to him. So today we call it as Buddhism, as a special religion and everything, is it not? A special religion and everything. But in Buddha's time, it wasn't like that. Buddha's time, there was no Buddhism. Buddhism didn't exist in Buddha's time. So you can see this also in Buddha's teachings also, if you look. In the early days, he doesn't even talk about a religion in that way. He says there was a group of people called Brahmanas. He mentions about that. He mentions about that. And there he is referring to about the symptoms of the Brahmana, particularly with reference to the knowledge of the self. In many cases, if you study Buddhism, it's very close to Vedic conclusions. Realizing the soul. But what is the problem? Problem is, because he didn't accept the Vedam, therefore Buddha is not accepted. Buddha is not accepted. Although, as an incarnation of Krishna, we talk about Buddha, isn't it? In the Dashavadaram, the 10 incarnations also, Buddha is referred to. But still, you don't see any temples for Buddha built during the Vedic times. After Buddha's time, His own devotees felt the necessity to worship Buddha. And then they started different viharas they have built, and they have started installing the installing the deity, everything started later. But Buddha was not into it, but his followers have started later. So Buddha is the first person who has institutionalized a religion. And not only that, what he did was, Buddha started this very unusual thing. He started giving sannyas to everybody. Called everyone and gave them sannyasam, and this also, what they call as the saffron clothes, and a name, and started enrolling them as an institution. It started like that. And you could see the problem, what happened. The whole country is full of sannyasis. Imagine, the country is full of sannyasis, nobody else. What will happen? And this was the situation then. This was the situation then. So, and Buddha realized that it was the same thing what he started has caused the problems later. cause the problems later. And he understood that as well. So later on, after his departure, the whole institution broke up into different sects. It has all happened afterwards. So, and they all started each other blaming against each other. So he got so fed up after that. And as usual, the competition started between the disciples. So it is at that time that he went into the forest fully fed up with the disciples. So disciples were very upset. And Ananda, who went to look after Buddha at that time, he says, who will look after Buddha? But Buddha was looked after by this principle, because in that jnanam, when full realization of the soul has happened, then it is completely under Krishna's control. Antaryami inside will make arrangements. The whole world will do what is necessary to protect that person. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrit. Prabhavam, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, Bijam, Avyayam. So those two, the first lines is referred to those things. So, so that is as far as Buddha's life is concerned. So this elephant which was living in that forest, Parleka forest, he used to go with Buddha for collecting bhiksha from the different villages he used to go for. And sometimes the elephant used to wait for Buddha to come back. And in practically, Buddha, elephant was serving Buddha all through his time in the forest like a disciple. So, it seems at that time, when this monkey saw this service to Buddha from the elephant, the monkey felt the desire to serve Buddha in the same way. It's not only the disciples at that time, when one is realized to state, even the animals wants to serve that jnani, wants to serve that realized soul. So, so the monkey used to bring fruits and give it to Buddha to eat. When Buddha ate the fruit, the monkey used to get very happy, used to get very pleased. And monkey's nature, you know what it is? It will jump from one one branch to another jump, another branch, to show its happiness. How it felt happy about that, because having got an opportunity to serve Buddha in that way. So, ultimately, all the bhikshus, Buddha bhikshus, they came to see Buddha. And they thought that, they were always thinking that they were, the disciples were thinking, they were actually serving the Guru. That's what they were thinking like that. They also thought, if we don't serve him, let's see what he's going to do. Disciples were thinking like that. But Krishna has higher plans. Krishna's plans and Krishna's realized souls, they are not anymore under the control of the so-called disciples. Disciples can't do anything for them. Anyway, Krishna said, Antaryami inside, make the arrangements for the shelter of that great personality. So, whatever Krishna has decided to happen through that person, through that realized soul, whatever has to happen will happen through him, and Krishna will make the arrangements for that to happen in that way. So, so if he is not doing that, whatever necessary facilities necessary for that, everything will be organized for him. So, suppose if he thinks, I want it like this or I want it like that, that won't happen. It will happen because he is surrendered to Krishna. It will happen the way Krishna wants that to happen. That's the way it is. That person who is realized, he has no plans anymore. He is not going to operate in this world like the way we operate. We operate with our false ego. We make plans for everything, isn't it? But in the case of that, when self-realization has happened, then after that, he may not be making any more plans. Things just happen through him. So, that is what it says here. Krishna is saying here, Prabhavam Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam Nidhanam. What does Nidhanam mean? Nidhanam means that the very source of this creation is operating through him. The very source from whom everything has come, that very source is operating through that person at that time. Antaryami, in other words, and Antaryami will be prepared to do any service what is necessary to keep that realized soul in this world. as long as its prarabdham is there. As prarabdham is there. Because even after self-realization, the body won't drop. Body may stay still. So body has to wait till the prarabdham is over. So up to that point, Antaryami takes control of that body and makes sure whatever that is necessary, if there is anything good for this world, has to happen through that body. Antaryami will make the arrangements to happen through that body, and the protection and the care, what is required for that body, is provided by the Antaryami, not by anybody else. Completely under the Antaryami's control. This is what Krishna is saying here. Gedi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat. Prabhavam, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam. That is what he is saying here. Prabhava, Pralayasthanam. Nidhanam, Bijam, Avyayam. So, that means it is from Antaryami he is operating. Antaryami is his shelter. Eventually he goes back to the Antaryami. All the time he is in touch with the Antaryami, not with anything else in this world. So with this realization of these verses, when one is self-realized, these verses starting from Satatam Kirtayandomam onwards, Satatam Kirtayandomam, and then after that the next verses, like Jnana Yena Chapinni Ajandomam Upasade, that one, and after that the next one, So sadadam kirtayandomam, from that verse, pidaham asya jnana yajnena chapene yajandemam upasade, 15. Then aham kradur aham yajna, that verse. And pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha, that one. And this verse, gadir bharta prabhu sakshi, is all driving us to the source Antaryami. To convince us in all stages, in everything, the operation is controlled from the Antaryami. From the Antaryami. If you realize that Antaryami aspect, then you have understood this verses. Understood this verses. You can see from different places, Krishna brings everything. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhar. Prabhava, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, Bijam, Avyayam. It has to be like that. It has to be like that. So, as Krishna says here, then a person who has realized these verses, what is spoken in this, from Sadadam Kirtayandomam onwards, up to this, including Gadir Bartha Prabhu Sakshi, that his knowledge, Krishna is saying, is firm, is very firm, because he is very properly fixed in the right place, is very firm. And in creation, sustenance, dissolution, in all states, he will be like that. He won't be affected by anything. God goes on. Creation won't have any effect on him. Maintenance won't have any effect on him. And destruction also won't have any effect on him, because he's situated in the right place, in the self, in the self. And such a person who has realized the truth in that way, for him, Krishna is always directly available to him. You will see that in the next verse. Let's look at that. A person who has gone through these verses and who has realized the Antaryami in this way, that Antaryami is, these things don't happen overnight, this self-realization. There are so many stages to go through, and these are some of the stages in that Antaryami realization. If you study Brihadaranyam, you will see this more explained there in lot. So Krishna is saying here that from Satatam Kirtayandomam he begins this process. Then he explains after that the Jnana-yajna, how that knowledge builds up in that person, that Jnana-yajna begins in him. And he also mentions there that in his state, egatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. We have seen that in detail, what it means. It also leads to this state. What is that? All is yajnam, karmam. That verse 16 is all reference to karmam, isn't it? Kratu, yajnam, all that is karmam side. Karma means vaidhya karmam, not to the karmam what we do in this world. It's a vaidhya karmam refers to. Aham kradu, aham yajnam, sadaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evajyam, aham agni, aham hudam. All that sacrifices part of it also. Krishna is saying, then, pidaham asya jagadom, adhadhadha pidamaha, vedyam pavitram ongaram riksama yajurevaja. So you can see, if you look through these four or five verses, it covers everything in the Vedic spectrum. Is it not? It covers karma yogam, it covers jnana yogam, it covers bhakti yogam. The three major yoga processes is covered in that, everything. All the Vedas are covered in there. All the yajnam is covered there. Yagam is covered in there. And then added to that, Krishna added these two also, which one 17 and 18, where he mentions, Pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitram onkaram riksama yajurevaja. All that. That means that father, mother, grandfather, everything is me. And then he also said that Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram, Om is also me. And also Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam is me. Is me. Then he also mentions Gadi Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, everything. Nivasa Sharanam Sukhat Prabhu Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. That also we have seen. After saying all that things, Krishna is saying that a person who has realized all this, not understood, realized, one who has come to the realized state of these verses, what will happen is for him, Krishna is very freely available all the time. Look at the next verse. Tapamyahamaham varsham nigranami usrajami cha amridam chaiva mrityascha sadasachaham arjuna tapamyahamaham varsham nigranami usrajami cha amridam chaiva mrityascha sadasachaham arjuna tapami aham varsham nigranami usrajami cha amridascheiva mrityascha sadasachaham arjuna. Krishna saying, translation, O Arjuna, I control the heat, the rain and the drought. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both being and non-being are in me. Both being and non-being are in me. Now, here, Krishna says, I control the heat and the rain and the drought. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both being and non-being are in me. Like all the other verses, Krishna is continuing the same thing. He said that its example is easier to understand through examples, these things in happens, how this realization can happen in people's life. There was Krishna says, I am the heat, isn't it? I am the heat. When you say that, how do you understand that? Krishna is the heat. I control the heat. What does Krishna do there? Sitting there somewhere and controlling the temperature or what? Is that how do we relate with that? Isn't it? It's a big question. Like all the other previous verses also. Heat, cold also in the same way he mentions that the rain and the drought, he says. Tabamyaham aham varsham nigrinami usrajami cha amridam chaiva mrityascha sadasachaham arjuna. Krishna is also saying, I am the immortality and I am also death personified. We can read these verses and either we can leave it at that, or if you want to get it a deeper understanding of these things, is through examples it's possible to understand. In realized souls, how do they relate with heat and cold and rain and other changes in the nature? Normally when we read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions in the beginning, isn't it? What is that? He says, Shidoshna Sugadukeshu Agamabhayino Nityam Tam Tidikshasva Bharata. We read that verse and what do we say? We say to others. To others we say, look, Prabhu, Krishna has said this in the Bhagavad Gita. Why don't you follow that? When somebody says to you, it's very cold, he says, why, what cold? What does it say, the words? Matrasparashastu kaundeya shidoshna sugadukhada agamabhayinu nityam tam tidikshasu bharada. What's the problem? This is the answer, isn't it? That's how we have understood that verse, isn't it? We think, put yourself, cover yourself with nice, a lot of jumpers and the jacket, everything, and sit in a heated room and say, Tam Tidikshasu Bharata. Very good, isn't it? But this is not what that means. We have all misunderstood everything. So many things we are thinking like that. And we tell others also, look, it is there in the Bhagavad Gita, why don't you follow that? If it is very hot, we say, don't worry, we are looking for the AC room. Where is the AC room? Air-conditioned room, if it's there. And we'll sit in the AC room, then we will preach the Bhagavad Gita to others. We'll say, Krishna says that Shitam Ushnam, heat and cold, we should not get disturbed over it because I'm sitting in the AC room. I can say that to others, is it not? So that way we have understood some things from Bhagavad Gita. We have understood something like that. That's all what we know about Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And we say to others also, it's there in the... We'll tell the correct chapter number and the verse number, everything. That won't go wrong. That'll be very correct, precisely. So, agamabhayino nityam tam tidikshasva bharata. It'll come and go, so you should tolerate it. Yes, that's correct. The statement is correct. What does that all mean at the end? So, it's the same situation here also. Krishna is saying, I am controlling the heat, I am controlling the rain, I am controlling the drought, and I am the death, and I am immortality as well. Tabamyaham varsham nigrinami usajami jam. Then amrutam jaiva mrityuscha sadasachaham Arjuna, says to Arjuna in that way. So there was one famous scholar, his name was Jagadisha Shastri. He was a very famous scholar in his time, about 178 years ago. A very famous scholar he was. This Jagadisha Shastri happened to be a friend of, schools. He went with Ramana Maharshi. He went with him to school in his school days. Later on, after Maharshi became a realized person, and Jagadish happened to come there and spend some time with him. In one instance, what happened was that on a very, very hot day, Maharshi was in a realized state. He went to the Tiruvannamalai hills to walk in there. In the very hot day. Hot means you're talking about 45, 47 degrees Celsius temperature. And what they call in Vedic literature, they have a process called Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya means if you want to perform serious austerities, you sit there somewhere, all around you set up fire. Fire burning all around you. And from the top, the scorching sun. And you sit there and engage. That is what is called Panchagni Vidya. Or from all sides, from four sides and from the top. Fire is burning at you. And in the middle of that, you are sitting there and you are performing your meditations there. That's called Panchagni Vidya. Similarly, a situation like that, Maharshi went walking to the hills, to the mountains. And he told Jagadish to come with him. Told Jagadish to come with him. They started walking together. But it was too hot. He just couldn't walk. It was so hot. And when Maharshi never showed any discomfort while walking, whereas after a few yards they have walked, Jagadish was feeling a great difficulty to walk. He realized that he cannot go with him for very far, for a long distance. So as soon as he got to a few yards they finished, the Adi Shastri told the Maharshi, I can't walk anymore in this heat. It was too hot. It was so hot. So Maharshi told him, explained to him, that I give you a mantra, you try to follow this. It may help you, he said. And that is why he instructed him on what is known as Surya Raksha. Surya Raksha means protection from the sun. Surya Raksha Mantram it is called. It was given to him in that instance. And due to Maharshi's realization, he told Jagadish that you chant this mantra. And mantram is saying that this Antaryami inside me is the same Antaryami who is in the sun. That's what that mantram is all about. But mantram can only have effect if it comes from a realized soul. Otherwise it won't have its effect. If we chant Surya Raksha, there won't be any shelter. We will experience the heat. But in his case, what happened was that because he heard this from the Maharshi and he chanted the mantra and he could see that he had no difficulty walking the rest of the distance. Few miles they walked right up to what is known as today's Skandashramam, Virubhaksha Cave and all that. They walked right up to the mountain, and that was Maharshi's walk for the day. And right in the middle of the day, when it was the scorching heat, and in that heat the whole ground was burning, and he was able to explain to him that Antaryami inside us can change this experience inside us. That means with self-realization, heat and cold also disappears. It is not experienced in the same way like before. When we experience heat and cold, who is experiencing it? The false ego is experiencing that. Is it not? Self, Krishna has already spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, you cannot burn the soul. You cannot moist the soul. You cannot wet the soul. Isn't it? Nothing can affect the soul. But then who is experiencing it? Somebody must be there who is experiencing it. Isn't it? And that is that false ego inside. That's that false ego inside. What Krishna is saying here is that tabamyahamaham varsham nigranami usujami cha tabamyahamaham varsham. When the heat and the cold or rain or whatever uncomfortable conditions what we experience through the body and the false ego, if that is shifted towards the Antaryami, that cannot have any effect on us. That cannot have any effect on us. Whereas, when we say to someone that we have to tolerate heat and cold, our false ego is behind it. In every statement what we make at that time, isn't it? The false ego is behind it. What Krishna is saying here is that with self-realization and the presence of the Antaryami inside, once that is realized, you will know that this so-called experience of the heat and cold also is not something to do with you. It is something to do with the Antaryami. Antaryami's presence inside, like he takes away, swallows all our karmic reactions and impressions. Same way, the effect of the heat and the cold also, what you will experience will not be there. Why? Because by now, this mantra has its effect on the person. He started seeing that this heat, where is this coming from? From the Antaryami in the sun planet. Is it not? The sun planet is also, Krishna is the Antaryami in the sun also. In the moon also, who is the Antaryami? Krishna is the Antaryami in the moon also. In all the stars, who is the Antaryami? Krishna is the Antaryami. So, with that full realization, that Antaryami, Krishna is behind everything, if one has come to that stage, with the realization of the self, this situation also changes. Jagadisha Shastri never complained after that about heat. Many years later, Jagadish Shastri went to Mumbai. When he went to Mumbai, he had one disciple of Maharshi who lived in Mumbai, a businessman from Gujarat. He used to live in Mumbai at that time. And in one instance, that businessman and Jagadish Shastri were walking on a street. It was a very hot day. It was a very hot day. And that remembrances of those two together, that you can read that, where they say there is that this businessman says to Jagadish Shastri, it will not be proper for you to walk in this heat. It is so hot that if you have forgotten to take the slippers, we'll get in and buy some shoes from the shop. Because it was too hot, they had to walk quite a long distance. So Jagadish Shastri says to him that I had this experience before in with Maharshi, and Maharshi has given me this particular mantra, and when I receive that, it has protected me from that instant. So you will see this in many great personalities. They all have realized what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is their direct experience. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigranami usrajami ja. Krishna is saying here, and they also realize that tapam means that heat, that what they are experiencing is, can be nullified as soon as you realize the self. That will not have any effect on the body. That is the way to overcome. Not through self-realization, we have to come to this understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it will not have any meaning much. False ego making a statement that you have to heat, tolerate the cold, tolerate the heat, that won't last very long. It will probably last for a few minutes, and then we may have to say goodbye to that. Then we won't be following that process anymore. So we'll stop there today, and we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.